Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
We're knights of the round table. We dance whenever we're able. We do routines to call the scenes to put quite in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot. We eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table. Our shows are more mid-table. The many times we give and rhymes that are quite unsingable. We're off the mad in Camelot. We sing from the die of Camelot.
I have to push the pram a lot.
Well, on second thought, let's not go to Camelot.
Ma'am, sorry.
It is a silly place.
What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you ma'am.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how'd you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here.
Oh!
How'd you do?
How'd you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings?
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake, her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite, held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds, distributing swords, is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
Oh, but you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
Oh, but if I went round saying I was an emperor, just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help! Help! I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
We the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America. First 10 Amendments to the U.S. Constitution. Amendment Number 1. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech, or of the press, or the right of the people peaceably to assemble, and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Amendment Number 2. A well-regulated militia, being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms, shall not be infringed. Amendment Number 3. No soldier shall, in time of peace, be quartered in any house, without the consent of the owner, nor in time of war, but in a manner to be prescribed by law. Amendment Number 4. The right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects, against unreasonable searches and seizures, shall not be violated, and no warrants shall issue, but upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the place to be searched, and the persons or things to be seized. Amendment Number 5. No person shall be held to answer for a capital or otherwise infamous crime unless on a presentment or indictment of a grand jury, except in cases arising in the land or naval forces or in the militia when in actual service in time of war or public danger, nor shall any person be subject for the same offense to be twice put in jeopardy of life or limb, nor shall be compelled in any criminal case to be a witness against himself, nor be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of law, nor shall private property be taken for public use without just compensation. Amendment Number 6. In all criminal prosecutions, the accused shall enjoy the right to a speedy and public trial by an impartial jury of the state and district wherein the crime shall have been committed, which district shall have been previously ascertained by law, and to be informed of the nature and cause of the accusation, to be confronted with the witnesses against him, to have compulsory process for obtaining witnesses in his favor, and to have the assistance of counsel for his defense. Amendment Number 7. In suits at common law, where the value in controversy shall exceed $20, the right of trial by jury shall be preserved, and no fact tried by a jury shall be otherwise re-examined in any court of the United States than according to the rules of the common law. Amendment Number 8. Excessive bail shall not be required, nor excessive fines imposed, nor cruel and unusual punishments inflicted. Amendment Number 9. The enumeration in the Constitution of certain rights shall not be construed to deny or disparage others retained by the people. Amendment Number 10. The powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution, nor prohibited by it to the states, are reserved to the states respectively, or to
the... Ladies and gentlemen, the very word secrecy is repugnant in a free and open society, and we are as a people inherently and historically opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths, and to secret proceedings. For we are opposed around the world by a monolithic and ruthless conspiracy that relies primarily on covert means for expanding its sphere of influence, on infiltration instead of invasion, on subversion instead of elections, on intimidation instead of free choice. It is a system which has conscripted vast human and material resources into the building of a tightly knit, highly efficient machine that combines military, diplomatic, intelligence, economic, scientific, and political operations. Its preparations are concealed, not published. Its mistakes are buried, not headlined. Its dissenters are silenced, not praised. No expenditure is questioned, no secret is revealed. That is why the Athenian lawmaker Solon decreed a crime for any citizen to shrink from controversy. I am asking your help in the tremendous task of informing and alerting the American people, confident that with your help, man will be what he was born to be, free and independent.
That ant that stood up to me.
Yeah, but we can forget about him.
Yeah, it was just one ant. One ant.
Yeah, you're right. It's just one ant.
Yeah, boss. They're puny.
Puny? Say, let's pretend this brain is a puny little ant.
Did that hurt?
Nope.
Well, how about this one?
Are you kidding?
Well, how about this?
You let one ant stand up to us, then they all might stand up.
Those puny little ants outnumber us 100 to 1. And if they ever figure that out, there goes our way of life.
It's not about food. It's about keeping those ants in line. That's why we're going back.
Does anybody else want to stay?
There's something happening here. What it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop. Children, watch that sound. Everybody look what's going down. There's battle lines being drawn. Nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speaking their minds are getting so much resistance from behind. The time we stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. What a field day for the heat. 1,000 people in the street singing songs and carrying signs, mostly safe, hooray for our side. It's time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Strikes deep into your life, it will creep. It starts when you're always afraid. Step out of line, the man come and take you away. We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop now. What's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop. Children, what's that sound?
Aziz the Terrible. All rise for King Shazam the Terrible and the Knights of the Round Table.
Hello, everybody. You're listening to the Knights of the Round Table. I hope that I get the ears of the right people on this particular subject right here, because we're kind of standing at a crossroads that could basically not go so well. There's a lot of things going on in the United States of America right now. The country's kind of in a mess to some extent. Some things might be working out. I don't know. It's hard to say. It's really hard to say. It's all about information that you got to kind of weed through to see what's right and what's wrong. But the other day there was an episode that went down that was basically portrayed as a red flag law, where this Afghan vet was going to be, you know, basically violated against his constitutional rights. And you know, after if you was paying attention to what was actually going on during that deal, it basically exploded the internet. There's all kinds of stuff that was being said and going on and stuff like that. But, you know, as time went by, you know, some different stories came up out of there, and so it might not very well be, you know, what it all seemed to be at the beginning. So, once again, I don't know, because I don't know all the facts. All I know is from the information that I ascertained, but you can see that's just a tiny little fraction of the response that would actually come about if, you know, these things were actually occurring and, you know, you got the American people riled up. And I'm sure that in the midst of all that, there wasn't just Americans involved in it. As well as when it comes to the subject of gun control, you don't always have just Americans putting their opinions out there in the mix as well. So, you know, there's a whole lot more going on than meets the eye when it comes down to, you know, what's actually occurring here in the United States of America. There should be lots of red flags that would basically concern anyone who believes in freedom and the United States Constitution and what it actually stands for. You know, granted, you know, we got a jaded or shade, you know, not so perfect past. Let's just say that. All right. I was going to actually play a reading of the Declaration of Independence that was read by, and ironically enough, some people who are celebrities in like movies and stuff like that, TV celebrities. But a lot of these celebrities, the hypocrisy of them actually reading the Declaration of Independence is mind-blowing, because a lot of these celebrities are active participants in violating at least the First and possibly the Second Amendment. Well, definitely the Second Amendment and possibly the First Amendment. So, with that said, you got a group of individuals who are actively working and speaking out against, you know, rights that should be nearly written in stone as far as, you know, what we can hold on to as the people. Now, the governmental system that we've got right now is a representative republic. Now, you'll hear a lot of representatives out there calling us a democracy, and that should also be a red flag, because democracy is a total different beast, if you understand what I'm saying. But nonetheless, you know, there, when you don't even understand your own form of government, then there's an issue as you as a representative. And it doesn't stop there. There's all kinds of things going on. There's things being done that incrementally take away and weaken certain rights of the people, you know, to be secure in their properties and their person and their personal effects and so on down the line. But the thing that you see going on now, you see things like in California. I posted a video link where California was telling the churches not to feed the homeless. And they were also talking about, you know, basically forced imprisonment of, you know, people who might violate laws or whatever, you know, homeless, or they might be on drugs, or they might have a mental condition, and so basically they're going to, you know, put them in, you know, let's say it nicely, into some sort of camp or, you know, internment or something like that. There's so much I want to say on this subject because it's mind-blowing. If you sit down and you think about, you know, incrementally all the ways that the U.S. citizens' rights in the last, let's go all the way back to 1933 and all the way up to the present, there's been incrementally things put into place, laws that in reality actually violate the rights of the U.S. citizen. Now, how does this affect the world? Well, unfortunately, it seems that the United States of America seems to be like the last beacon of freedom, where we've actually got certain rights that the majority of the other nations don't have the enjoyment of having. They don't have the First Amendment to the full extent that we've got. They don't have the Second Amendment, the right to keep and bear arms. And those two amendments of the Constitution are at the very top of the list for a reason. And so any attack on those, or, you know, you just go on down the line and read. That's why I played out the first 10 amendments to the Constitution. They're all important. Even the newer, you know, amendments to the Constitution are all important. Now, I mentioned earlier, it doesn't matter, you know, I mentioned earlier that the United States doesn't have a perfect record, so to speak, as far as how we actually got where we're at right now. A lot of people were done wrong in the past, and there were some, you know, terrible things done, you know, in order to get this this world that we're living in today. But now that we're here, We're going to have to try to figure out something. Do we want to maintain the, you know, a little bits of what freedom we actually do enjoy? Or do we actually use what that Constitution basically says it's our duty to overthrow a tyrannical government? Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not into the violent revolution. I'm not into trying to do any harm to anyone. But what I'm trying to convey here is the seriousness of the situation that is going on in the United States of America. Because the more pushing that you do towards the citizens of the United States, eventually there's a snapping point. So far, the United States citizens have been really tolerant of a lot of different things that, you know, like, for example, the United States Constitution, Second Amendment, clearly states the right to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. That means in any way, form or fashion, but somehow or another, over time, we've allowed certain things to go through, like, you know, background checks and so on. You know, you gotta pass a background check in order for you to keep and bear arms. That's not what the Constitution said, but nonetheless, the American people have been tolerant under the agreement that, you know, hey, it's probably not a good idea to put a gun into a crazy man's hand, or so on. But it's still, no matter what you think about it, it's just like the First Amendment. No matter what you think about it, if I'm to be censored for what I say, that means you're to be censored for what you say. If you don't have no redress of grievance against your government, if you can't speak out against your government, then you are not free. You don't have the representation that you're supposed to have. You don't have the normal rights, you know, trial by jury if necessary, a jury of your peers to be faced by your accuser. And incrementally, your rights get weaker and weaker as you go. There are certain celebrities out there, which you won't name, you know, but I'm sure you've all heard them before talking about, disarming the American people and all this kind of stuff. Well, if you take anything from what I'm saying, take a little tiny example of how the internet exploded during that one little episode about a 30-round magazine that they were going to go and try to, serve, I don't know if it's a warrant or whatever. Either way, you'd have to look into the actual truth of the matter. But there was a lot of people that was riled up over this situation, a lot of people. And that's just a tiny fraction, folks. We live in a different world today. We don't live in a very stable world anymore, like you might have seen maybe back 40, 50 years ago. There's a lot of changes that have come about. You know, there are a lot more people that are either paranoid, on some sort of medication, or alcohol, drugs, or maybe just flat out crazy. There's a lot there. You're talking about a completely different society than what we're accustomed to from when I grew up till the present day, and even to the extent of the quality of the veterans that come back from the United States or from overseas or whatever. Don't get me wrong, I'm not talking bad about the veterans out there. I'm not trying to say that the veterans aren't patriots or good people or whatever, but some of the things and the morals that you hear nowadays are a lot different than if you was talking to, say, an old Korean War vet or World War I or World War II. A lot of differences there. You just have to sit down and really pay attention to actions and words, and there's a big difference. But either way, when you get this kind of mix together, you've got a wide variety of mixes that make up the people of the United States of America. Not every one of them is stable. There are lots of militias. There are lots of gangs. There's lots of lots of people who really believe in freedom and are willing to quite literally die for it if necessary. And so, is that a can of worms you want to open up? Is the question that I would have to ask those in power. Now, I know these folks up here in power, there's a lot of corruption both on the Democrat side and the Republican side. I don't care who you are, if you're sitting around and all you're saying is that the Republicans are corrupt, the Republicans are corrupt, the Democrats are corrupt, the Democrats are corrupt, well, you're being blinded by the whole entire mess. Because there's corruption on both sides. There are both sides of the fence that are incrementally taking away little tiny bits and pieces of the U.S. Constitution. When that gets to the point where they decide that they're going to actually go around and start rounding people up, so to speak, you'll see a different world. And it won't be the world that you want to live in. Unfortunately, the United States is in so many different areas around the world right now, involved in situations that may very well be unconstitutional wars, unconstitutional situations that the majority of the American people do not agree with. But it wasn't, like I said, American people have been really tolerant to this point. We got to protect our country. Okay, we're actually going to go through scanners and subject ourselves to being frisked down at the airport just so that we can travel. We're going to have the U.S. Border Patrol 100 miles inland asking U.S. citizens whether they're U.S. citizens or not. They're clear away from the border. They're not even on the actual border itself protecting the border. And the immigration debacle is mind-blowing. One side wants open immigration because it's going to get them more votes, and the opposite side may very well want a lot of those immigrants as well for you know, servants and workers and so on down the line. So, you know, you got nasty on both sides of the fence. It doesn't matter. What really does matter is that, you know, the true immigrants out there, the ones that really want to immigrate to America to try to have a better life, are, you know, basically having people jump the fence on them, so to speak. So there's a lot going. There's so much that I would love to just talk about here today on the Knights of the Round Table, and I'm sure we'll get to a lot of it, but we're not even scratching the surface of the mess that we find ourselves in. And like Kennedy was warning people about the military-industrial complex and the secrecy and the corruption and all that kind of stuff, you know, we have some serious problems. We have people that should probably be in jail for crimes that they committed and actual treason against the United States of America. However, somehow or another, because of their status in the system, they seem to not have to abide by the same laws that we do. We have law enforcement officers who literally laugh in the faces of those who proclaim their rights according to the United States Constitution. Are you there to uphold your oath that you took to, not violate my rights or anything like that? You know, hey, the police officers these days, they're just doing their job, right? Well, they're also dressed like military as well. And essentially have become a standing army against the people. There's not too many people in this world who really actually trust law enforcement anymore. There are a lot of people who back the badge, don't get me wrong. But the division is the key factor in what is actually occurring here. The division is mind-blowing when you want to talk about any given subject. It doesn't matter which one it is. Whether it be rights of people with different lifestyles, or, you know, freedom to feed the homeless, or, you know, gun rights. We could sit down and we could have these conversations for days on end, if not months, possibly even years, about what's going on. But I have to put a warning out there. A warning to the world. Because this is going to end poorly if it continues. It is going to end poorly. You think about a civil conflict here on the United States soil. It's not going to be like what you thought. It's not going to be smooth. It's not going to it's going to be bad. It's going to be real bad. And what rights we do have right now, it's all dependent on what happens on the other side, whether or not we can even hold on to those rights right now. And so, I get it. We want safety. We want security. We want a chance to, advance in our lives, have a good livelihood, be able to provide for our family and the defense of our nation. But when push comes to shove, you're not pushing against the old school bully, so to speak. You're pushing against something that when it all breaks loose, you think of the worst barroom fight you ever saw. Once that fight starts, you're talking utter chaos. And during the first Civil War, there were very few people, according to the entire population of the U.S., that actually fought in that war. And it was a mess. It was a bloody mess. A lot of atrocities happened during the first Civil War. And during the second Civil War, God forbid that there ever occurs, it's going to be beyond all imagination. Terrible. Now, once again, how's that going to affect the rest of the world? Well, when all the other troops start having to come back home to try to bring about peace here in the United States, a lot of the imbalance that's occurred overseas because of possibly, even possibly our intervention there, it's going to explode too. It's going to domino. The whole entire thing is going to domino out of control. The next thing you know, we're all begging, hey, we need some help. We need foreign troops here on our land. We need foreign troops to come here and sort this all out. There is an agenda behind the scenes, by the way, to actually destabilize the United States of America and other nations, for that matter. Those who don't agree with the system, the power structure that's already at play. And so you've seen how well it worked so far. Imagine that magnified when the last beacon of freedom just totally erupts in utter chaos. And I hate to be the bearer of bad news to those in power, but if you open that can of worms, you're not going to be in power much longer. And all the bunkers and all the hideouts that you've all built for yourself using taxpayer monies, they're not as secret as you think they are. And they may very well end up being your tomb. I'm not a violent man, folks. It breaks my heart to think that this country could go down the rabbit hole that basically, I would just even go as far to say the hell hole of a second civil war here in the United States of America. Now, this episode that happened over there, and they were talking about, it was a red flag law for a 30-round magazine, and it just kind of slapped the bee's nest, so to speak. That was just a little warning sign. That was just a little red flag. But you imagine if it come out to be true that that's actually what occurred, you got some problems. And when the day comes that they decide to go around and try to confiscate firearms, I have to tell you, in my neighborhood alone, I hear some things. And I get around. I hear a lot of things. I hear from people in many other states. And the talk ain't good. It's not going to fare well for those in uniform at all. And as far as our military, the division within our military, those who would just be doing their job as opposed to those who are not going to fight their own people, you better seriously contemplate that before it actually occurs. I don't want to see what could potentially unfold by the constant violation and pushing of the American people. You can go out there and you can watch video after video after video after video after video of U.S. citizens being abused by law enforcement. You can go out there and watch video after video after video of things going on in battlefields that would shock you to your very core. The way that the modern soldier laughs while gunning down somebody he doesn't even know. You're not talking about the same type of warrior that you would have seen back in the good old days. It was bad enough back then. There were a lot of terrible things done during Vietnam. There were a lot of terrible things done during Korea. There were a lot of terrible things done all throughout the history of the United States of America. I would even venture to say that the mindset of the American citizen is probably like that dog you keep on a chain. You get that dog riled up, and that dog gets loose, it's not going to be a pretty sight. Now, I'm not into violence. I'm not advocating overthrowing my government. I love my country. I'm not anti-government. I'm anti-corruption. But if you're in a system, and once again, I said, it doesn't matter how we got here, we're here now. and at least for the most part, we have some sort of illusion of freedom. But when push comes to shove and it gets beyond what we've seen so far, when that rubber band snaps and those dominoes begin to fall, God help us all. So with that said, I'm not here alone. Hi, Barbara. How you doing?
Hey, Shaz. Well, I'm doing okay. Hey, everybody out there in People for People land and wherever you're listening from. I hear all you're saying, and it's a lot. It's a lot. But I do want to say first off that we're talking here about pretty much what's going on in the United States. And I just want to say that this is not just about the United States. Because I think as we've learned over time that what goes on here also is, you know, kind of incrementally being introduced in other countries throughout the world or vice versa. What's going on over there is heading here. And we see that very clearly. So, you know, you started out with this this whole Afghan vet standoff, right?
Yeah.
And boy, well, I guess supposedly it broke the internet. So that means that's huge to say this broke the internet, because that shows you how many people in this country are aware and alert and awake pretty much to how wrong this was. You know, how alarming that was. You talk about a red flag law. Because the red flag law, it kind of reminds me of the law in regarding vets. It's about PTSD. This is the focus. PTSD. And I can't remember that law. I didn't do a search of it, but it came out a while back. It's basically to take the guns away from veterans. It has to do with PTSD. Do you remember that law?
Oh, yeah. I remember that very clearly. The thing about it is, you know, this red flag law here, it doesn't even have to be, you know, PTSD. It could just be you might have said something or somebody perceives you
somebody
to be violent.
Apparently his friend alerted the authorities. Now, that's what was said.
Yeah.
The whole thing stinks. Because I was looking at it from the very beginning, the reports, and there were so many different conflicting reports. The police said that, their first report on their, I guess on their website, was very, very weird, and certain things kind of, you know, bring a red flag up, of course, and then they took down their information on, they put up different information. It immediately kind of alerted a lot of people, because this guy, this Afghan vet, was actually, during this incident, was actually, tweeting to his friends, to his buddies, and so on. And it spread like a wildfire. But there's a lot of questions about what exactly happened. Apparently there was a cop around the area, and I'm thinking, again, there's a lot of information that is questionable because it changed. One policeman was in that area. It is thought that he was there because there was some domestic violence, and so then I guess he's investigating, and he said he thought he heard a gunshot. So he thought he heard a gunshot, and then he called backup. So he called, like, it wasn't just a couple of policemen that came. It was like, you know, the military, you know what they do, you know, with all their gear and so on. And sharpshooters, or what do they call them?
Snipers?
No, when they're going to take somebody out.
Yeah, it's a sniper, sharpshooter.
Sharpshooter, yeah. When somebody is a danger to themselves or to others. And so they came, and so meanwhile the guy's in his house, and I guess he's on his Twitter thing to his buddies and so on. So this was going, you know, pretty much countrywide here. But then it turned out that because his friend alerted somebody, supposedly saying that this guy, the Afghan vet, had PTSD. Okay, so that is a big alarm. So they're noting the PTSD was the problem. Nobody knows if he has PTSD, but this was basically what the premise was, that this vet has PTSD and he has that 30, what is it?
30-round magazine?
A 30-round magazine. Now, he has license and he's legal with his guns, right? But the big push here was about the PTSD. That is the alarm that they were going on. Now, apparently he did have some domestic issues. There was a felony about him with, domestic issues and a few other. They gave a whole bunch of stuff that apparently, but we don't know. The whole thing was so confusing and red flagging up the kazoo, meaning we were looking at this as something's not right. It's very fishy, this whole thing. But here's how I'm looking at it. What came to my mind immediately was that the veteran, that law, that vets, if they are diagnosed with PTSD, now I'm just paraphrasing this, that they have to basically give up their guns. They are not allowed, against the law, to carry weapons, right? That's what that was, correct?
Well, that's what they were trying to get through. I've never heard anything, farther about whether or not that actually went through, but I'm going to tell you right now, I wouldn't. It wouldn't matter. I would not do it.
Well, those that are in the Veterans Administration, if they go for help. So if you go for help, they diagnose you with PTSD, they will give you the help that they say you are, allowed to have, but you must turn in your guns.
Yeah, they're also asking every time you go to the Veterans Office whether or not you're depressed or anything like that, because they're keeping tabs on, soldiers that, like you said, have PTSD or might be suffering from depression, which puts you on the list.
Well, they could be, and they could be therefore potentially dangerous.
Yeah.
Okay, and this is what this whole thing, to me, this was sort of like one of those red flags. Let's see how this is going to work with the public. Let's see if we can, do this. We'll just claim this guy has PTSD. Nobody knows who the so-called friend is that called up authorities and said, he's concerned about his friend because he has PTSD and he's unstable, And so then the guy, has a standoff with the police, the military police, own home.
The problem that falls in there is if it's allowed for one person to be done like that, if that was the case, then that would set a precedent for the future.
Well, that's the whole point. I think this is why we call this a red flag. A red flag, represents basically a false premise of a circumstance, right?
Yep.
It's not real. It's contrived, correct?
Well, it's like a false flag, same thing.
It's a false flag. We call them red flags, of course, now. Yeah.
Red flag should be a warning, a heads up. Hey, look out, this is happening.
Yeah, to the public.
Yep.
So this is called being called a red flag. And anyway, it was very bizarre. The information about this was very bizarre. So the question is, does he have PTSD? We don't know. But that was the premise that brought the police there. They said, first it was that the policeman thought he heard gunshots. But then when they arrest the guy, they go in, finally he does give up, and they go in, there were no guns.
No, he didn't have
there
any.
There were no guns. But anyway, I don't know. It's just, but it is the red flag. The piece is here, is what we're talking about, is that I want to read this principles, the methodology of tyranny, because this is what we're dealing with.
All right, you need to come closer to your mic if you can.
Oh, can you not hear me?
Yeah, you got real quiet there for a second. There you go.
Okay. So this methodology of tyranny, because this is what we're all dealing with. Everybody in the world is not just here in the U.S., and we see what's going on in other countries, and in Chile, and Hong Kong, and Venezuela, and and various other places where people are out in the streets in their revolution against their government. I just saw, okay, I gotcha. I just saw an article this morning in the paper headline that the people of Hong Kong were marching with the American flag and singing the national anthem of the United States and holding up pictures of Trump thanking him for the support that he gave the protesters in Hong Kong. And here in this country, people are holding up flags hating Trump, you know. But you have people in Hong Kong are thanking him. They love Donald Trump, you know. So talk about a squirrely world. But I want to read the methodology of tyranny. This is really interesting because our Constitution speaks about, you know, the Second Amendment is the right to bear arms, meaning it is about tyranny. Tyranny meaning government tyranny, or your government basically, you know, working to control you and enslave you and chip away at your rights. And this methodology of tyranny is really brilliant here. And I want you to listen to what I'm talking about. And this is worldwide that people are experiencing this, and see if you can identify what is going on in your country where you are, if what I am saying reminds you of the, of your own personal experiences in your country. So what we're looking at here is tyrants. So the methods used to overthrow a constitutional order, that's what this is, and establish a tyranny, these are well known. However, despite this awareness, it is surprising how those who have no intention of perpetrating a tyranny can slip into these methods and bring about a tyranny, despite their best intentions. Tyranny does not have to be deliberate. Tyrants can fool themselves as thoroughly as they fool everyone else. Well, I don't know if I kind of like, if you're going to create a tyrannical government, you know what you are doing. It's not by mistake, so that's my perception.
Agreed.
Yeah, so control of, here's the first one, control of public information and opinion. So this begins, right, this controlling factor here begins with withholding information, and it leads to putting out false and misleading information. So a government can develop ministries of propaganda under many guises, and they typically call it public information or marketing. Okay, so the next one is vote fraud, used to prevent the election of reformers. It doesn't matter which of the two major party candidates are elected if no real reformer can be nominated. And when news services start knowing this is amazing, because this is what's going on. When news services, mainstream media, start knowing the outcomes of an election before it is possible for them to know, then the votes are not being honestly counted. So think of that. We're so used to the mainstream media doing these during the our votes here, during the, you know, when we have our elections, telling us who's winning, right?
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
Well, during the election of Obama, I never, ever, ever seen an election go the way that did, because, you know, I'm sitting there, he's up, he's down, he's up, he's down. I went and took a restroom break, come back, and he was the president. And I'm like, what?
Well, look at Clinton and Trump.
Yeah.
They had Clinton as president. The New York Times, the Times magazine had her picture, Madam President.
Yep.
Before the election.
Yep.
Okay, let's go to the next one here. Undue official influence on trials and juries. And this is a big one. So non-random selection of jury panels, exclusion of those opposed to the law, exclusion of the jury from hearing argument on the law, exclusion of private prosecutors from access to the grand jury, and prevention of parties and their counsels from making effective arguments or even challenging the government. This is our system now. I don't know how it is over across the pond, but and then you have usurpation of undelegated powers. So what this is it's usually done with popular support for solving a problem or to redistribute wealth to the advantage of the supporters of a dominant faction, but it soon leads to the deprivation of rights and of minorities and individuals. So then you have seeking a government monopoly on the capability and use of armed force. So the first signs are efforts to register or restrict the possession and use of firearms, initially under the guise of protecting the public, which, when it is actually results in increased crime, provides a basis for further disarmament efforts affecting more people and more weapons, right?
Yep.
So in this case, we're talking about this Afghani, standoff here. So this is what we're looking at. We're fighting here about our Second Amendment, and this is a very thin line here that they're looking to eliminate our right to bear arms. This we know for sure, and they're setting up red flags to prove that these people who have guns are dangerous.
Yeah.
That's exactly what they're trying to do, right?
And you're always hearing law enforcement talk about whenever people are exercising their rights. They're talking about in today's day and age, regarding terrorist attacks and after 9/11. After 9/11 occurred, which you know how most people feel about that episode, but nonetheless,
yeah.
Not getting into that, but. They use that excuse to step on the toes of the people's rights. And it is becoming more frequent that it actually occurs. Like I said, you can go out there, you can watch video after video after video of cops pushing their authority past the limits. And even, fishing and testing, the waters
yeah.
of what they can actually get by with. I
yeah.
talked to a few young people. And they didn't realize that they actually had an option to not allow the law enforcement to search their vehicle. They felt like, well, if I tell them no, they'll think I'm doing up to no good, or I'm doing something illegal. And so most of the people who ever get caught doing anything gave the law enforcement consent to search their vehicle. I tell
right.
my children that if you buy a new car, that you better go through that car with a fine-tooth comb, because you don't know what kind of person had the car prior to you. You don't
yeah.
know what kind of passengers they had. They might have shoved stuff down in the seat. Well, now that you own the car, if it's in that car, it belongs to you. And under the asset forfeiture seizure laws, at least here in Missouri, they'll take your property and they'll arrest you for it. So
well,
you'll be charged.
If somebody had that car and they had cocaine, they were using cocaine. I'm just using this as a possibility, and they have that cocaine in the car, like dust in the car,
yeah.
right? Cocaine, and then they do a search on your car, and then they do whatever to see what's been used in that car.
Yep.
You can't say, "Oh, I didn't do it." That's
yep.
your car. There you are.
There you go. And as far as even when you got passengers in your car, if the passenger got something you don't know about in the car, it's still in your car.
That's right.
So you got to be really cautious. So we're As citizens, we're walking on eggshells.
It's crazy.
This
is where we've come to today. And I just want to take a little side track here on this police thing. And I've seen videos where people have been in their car, they've been pulled over, and they knew that law. Okay. And it's quite a debacle. It doesn't always work so smoothly. The cop doesn't always walk away and said, "Okay, you're right, you have this right." Okay, because there are some cops that aren't going to abide by that, okay? There's there's all types of different people in our system. Some good cops, some bad cops, as we know, in
yeah.
all systems. Now, recently I've noticed a big spike in this this KKK claiming that all systems are under the white supremacist doctrines. Now, all systems, meaning our government systems, that people are claiming that this whole system here is set up under a white supremacy, or KKK, basically. Because, and in a way, I kind of agree on this, because I have said that this country, the United States, has been founded on genocide and slavery. Okay, so in a way, because I call it the good old boys, right? The good old boys or the patriarchy, dominator rulers. That's what founded this country. So in a way, they're verging in that area. I support that to some degree, but now it's come to the place where you have all this is what someone said. All policemen are white supremacists and KKK, you know, association.
What about all the black officers?
Well, they're not, of course. You see, this is where this is such stupidity, but it is basically to rise everybody up against, you know, the system. Okay, now, there's no balance in this. It's just extreme. It's extreme in one direction.
Well, my point for bringing out the law enforcement wasn't to degrade the law enforcement to try to make like all law enforcement are bad. It's just the fact that today's society, you know, under the guise of security and freedom, they're actively violating people's rights. You know, whether it be a power trip in their head where they got a big heavy badge and a big head thinking, you know, I have the authority over you and that kind of stuff. You know,
well, there are some, unfortunately, in a lot of the systems, the authoritarian rulers, that's their, you know, that's their basically their agenda.
Yep.
So you have, what concerns me here is the statement that all cops, okay, because they're in the system, and the system was set up by white supremacists, okay, that's what they're going by. So, because this system of the police system was put up by, you know, the white supremacists, or therefore all cops are white supremacists and basically KKK members. It's unreasonable, this statement.
Yeah.
Because like you say, what about the people of color? There are all types of people of color in the police, you know, in our police system, but this is the absurdity of where people are going.
Well, so with that said, what I was talking about earlier, how, you know, you've already slapped the bee's nest, so to speak, and so when you get all these people of different mindsets, like, you know, liberal versus conservative kind of deal,
yeah.
And the liberals are under the impression that all law enforcement are white supremacists, where the conservatives might not have a total agreeance with the law enforcement, but they still say they back the badge or whatever. You got two different factions right there. One of them going to be wanting to take out anybody with a uniform, and the other one's going to be wanting to try to, you know, find a happy medium in there somewhere, if that makes any sense.
Well, what concerns me in this day and age here is the division and disunity that is being pushed.
It's done intentionally.
What?
I said it's done intentionally.
It's done intentionally, and it's basically the people that I know that are touting, I happen to know to some degree some people who are touting this division under the guise of doing good for the people and eliminating the controlling factor. But they are verging way, way, way left, okay? And it's excessive what they're doing. And I don't think half of them realize it. I think they're trying they think they're doing something good because of our system does need restructuring for sure. But they're basically way over on the left saying that all cops are, you know, white supremacists. And then you have certain things going on, you know, in other authoritarian systems. It all does need to come down and restructure, but with balance and harmony, which I don't think is going to happen. But because you have these people thinking they're doing good, they want to take down Columbus Day, okay, and many states are now doing that. They're changing Columbus Day celebration to indigenous people's celebration because of what happened, what Columbus did to the Indian people. So that's one, okay. Then you have Turkey Day, okay, Thanksgiving, okay, because of what happened to the Indian people by those pilgrims and everybody who came here, and during Thanksgiving, how, you know, well, they had a feast together, and then, like, the following month, they all basically, the pilgrims basically killed all those, well, not all of them, but they did it pretty much damage, because those people still remain, the Wampanoag up there in that area. So it's too extreme, you see. What I'm saying, the people are off, I guess, out of control with their protests.
Yep.
And their perspective of things. So if you erase, this is my concern, if you take away the history, if you eliminate those symbols like Columbus or various presidents who held slaves or Thanksgiving, if you eliminate these, you know, age-old systems that we all know, you know of, if you eliminate them, what happens to the next generation? What about the history that basically is denied or ignored about what Columbus really did? So let's just eliminate Columbus, okay? So nobody knows what Columbus did. They don't even know Columbus existed in the future. They will not know what this man did and what happened, you know, basically to the Indian people, or what happened on Thanksgiving, because there's no more Thanksgiving.
Yeah, it'd just be swept under the rug.
What I'm saying is that nobody teaches the real history, and that's deliberate. No school has said, you know, basically, as far as when I was in school, and I don't think it's that way today, what really happened on that day, on that Thanksgiving day, what happened in that, in between the pilgrims and the indigenous people that helped them. They basically saved their lives. You know, they were dying, and they basically saved their lives. And then the white people turned around, basically, the pilgrims, and slaughtered the Indian people. So nobody knows. You don't get that information in school, you know. You don't get that true history. All of our history, basically, written, is a lie. And we are learning about that, right?
Yeah.
But if you eliminate, if the key persons and key circumstances, like, let's just say, Columbus, or any president who held slaves, if you eliminate that, the future people will not know what really happened. And, you know, when you don't know what happened in your history, then it gets repeated. You don't see the signs. You will not be alert or aware of how tyranny is unfolding. And I want to continue with this, because we're getting to this one here, militarization of law enforcement. And so here's why this happens. They declare a war on crime or a war on terror. This becomes a war on civil liberties, basically. So it's preparation of military forces for internal policing duties. This is what they've already done here. They've created a war on terror. And this is basically a war on our civil liberties. This is where we went, and this is where we are today. This is part of the methodology of tyranny.
Well, before you move on, let me read something real quick so that everybody understands what the red flag law is. In the United States, a red flag law is a gun control law that permits police or family members to petition a state court to order a temporary removal of firearms from a person who may present a danger to others and themselves. Sounds good on the surface to most folks, not to me, but sounds good on the surface to most folks. If they're dangerous, they shouldn't have a firearm. But that's up to the interpretation of who says you're dangerous. And on YouTube, there's a YouTube channel out there, a guy talks about Florida abusing the red flag law. And
yeah,
in the other one we talked about earlier, new effort to radically change how to deal with homelessness, they're talking about basically if somebody does something or is perceived to be a certain way, then they can actually be basically incarcerated in prison.
They can
actually
make anything up they want.
Yeah, they could actually seize these folks if they have, like, Social Security benefits or whatever, and keep them detained until that they can get them back on their feet, so to speak. And who decides?
And the whole point of, who decides what a person is doing and what they have done or so on? Like, so they say temporarily remove their weapons.
Yeah, you ain't getting them back if they take
you're
them.
You're not getting them back. I'm sorry. They're just not going to give you. Oh, here. So we took your guns by mistake. You're an okay person. Here's your guns back. Oh, no, they're going to say, just like the giant skeletons, the Smithsonian confiscated all of them, said, we don't have them. We never had them in the first place. Now they come out years later and said, well, we did have them and we destroyed them.
Yeah.
They can say what they want.
Yeah, sorry about your luck. The paperwork went through. We didn't. We already destroyed them before we realized that they were going to give them back to you. Yeah, that's we know how they play the game.
Yes,
but anyway, go ahead with what you was talking about there.
What?
Go ahead with what you was reading there.
I'm reading Methodology of Tyranny, basically, which is related to our Second Amendment, the right to bear arms, against the tyranny of your own government. That's what that constitutional right represents.
Yep.
So now you have infiltration and subversion of citizen groups that could be forces for reform. So what this is it's internal spying and surveillance. This is the beginning. It's a sign, it's false prosecution of any, you know, leaders who are stepping up to the plate and say, you know, basically, we don't agree with our government. And internal spying and surveillance, we have it. That came after the War on Terror,
yeah.
after 9/11. That was put into place. So we already have that one here in the U.S., now you have suppression of investigators and suppression of whistleblowers. Now, don't you know, we have a law that whistleblowers are supposed to be protected, but that's out the window now. And also it's being used, actually violating the truth of who is that whistleblower. I mean, in other words, in the case today of this so-called whistleblower that is saying he has information on Trump, okay, so the whistleblower is being protected under that law, but you take somebody like Assange, okay, of WikiLeaks, who basically should have been protected, and also Snowden, who had to leave the country, and you have all this basically using this law for their own gain.
Oh, yeah.
You know, this is the whole point. If they want to protect the whistleblower for their own advantage, well, they will. If they don't want to protect the whistleblower for their own advantage, because the whistleblower will out them, then that whistleblower is a criminal, and let's hang him. This is how they use these laws. So when people who try to uncover high-level wrongdoing are threatened, that is a sign the system is not only riddled with corruption, but that the corruption has passed the threshold into active tyranny. And we have this now in our country.
Yep.
People are trying to uncover high-level wrongdoing when they're threatened, and this is going on. So here in this country, I don't know about you, wherever you are out there, you listeners, but this is one that we have already in place. Again, about tyranny. So here's another one. Use of the law for competition suppression. So it begins with the dominant faction winning support by paying off their supporters and suppressing their supporters' competitors. But this leads to public officials themselves engaging in illegal activities and using the law to suppress independent competitors. This is a good example of this is the narcotics trafficking. That's, you know, this is a mess talking about the narcotics trafficking in this country. And forget the opioids. That's another story altogether. So then you have subversion of internal checks and balances. So what this is this involves the appointment to key positions of persons who can be controlled by their sponsors and who are then induced to do illegal things. The worst way in which this occurs is in the appointment of judges that will go along with the unconstitutional acts by other branches. And we have that too, folks.
Yep.
I think we're already under government tyranny, don't you?
Well, that's what I say. I say we're sitting at a dangerous spot in time right now where a lot of people are awake and they're aware of all this different stuff. And this little episode with the Afghan vet or whatever, regardless of what the story ends up being, it's still not over because people are under the perception, those who, you know, they were watching in on it, but they went away and they don't know any changes or any updates to the deal. they're probably already riled up. They're probably telling a bunch of other people, hey, this is what's going on over here. You know? And when you start telling churches that they don't want you feeding the homeless, and that stuff gets out there.
Well, or not even churches, just people. Yeah. They don't want you to feed. You get arrested if you're feeding the homeless. What the heck?
So, you know, one of these things by themselves is severe enough. But you start adding in all this stuff, and then, like, the red flag law, if Florida's actually abusing that law and, trying to push through, gun control that way or whatever, you know that every time there's a law out there, there's somebody willing to abuse that law. And the citizens themselves calling up on each other, to get back at one another for whatever purpose that they, they're frustrated, they don't realize when they do that, they give the government yet even more power, and they're deteriorating their own rights. And this is the problem that you see mostly on the liberal side, out blatantly in public, people out there getting riled up and violent and smashing windows in their own communities and stuff like that. And what would it take for one crazy liberal to decide to go out and do a shooting in order to help further the gun law?
They've already claimed that that's what's happened. So that's already happened here. You have so-and-so going out as a shooter and then claiming that they're a Trumper. Or it's designated by the authorities that person is a Trumper.
Yeah.
But then you have Maxine Waters, a senator, Maxine Waters, standing out there in the street screaming her head off, telling her people to go and,
get in their faces. That's what she said.
Get
don't
in their
faces.
And get them, don't leave them alone. Don't ever leave them alone. Push them away. Get them out of our system. Push them out. Make their lives miserable. This is a senator.
Yeah.
She got away with this, too, by the way. And yet you have other people who are claiming, basically doing the same thing. She's not the only one. But there's a bias here because you have somebody I was talking to over Thanksgiving. We got together with people in Thanksgiving having a happy day. Well, we got into some politics. I got into some politics with two people. And this one person was saying, how she really is very disturbed and hates Trump. And she was identifying certain things that the mainstream media had basically manipulated to make Trump look like he did certain things or said certain things. And I said, I happened to see the full rally of that particular speech, and he didn't say that at all. It was taken, a part of it was taken and manipulated to look like he did this or look like he said that. Yeah. And then she said, he's inciting violence. I said, what about people who are putting up, like that comedian, I can't remember her name, she held up a head, a severed head, all bloody, it was fake, of course, a severed head, all bloody, of Trump's head, all severed and bloody. That was okay to do that? What is that inciting? Okay?
Yeah.
But then I'm saying, but here in this country, we have free speech, right? I said, but it's a dangerous, this is a dangerous law, even free speech, because you think about it, these people are inciting violence, but we have free speech here.
Yeah.
So this is the conundrum that we're looking at in today's world. So now you have, we have this here already. This is, again, the methodology of tyranny, if you're just tuning in, but creation of a class of officials who are above the law. Okay, so what this is indicated by dismissal of charges for wrongdoing against persons who are following orders. In other words, the persons who were charged for wrongdoing, they were following the above-level order. In other words, they're the puppet, right?
Yep.
But there's dismissal of charges of wrongdoing of these people. And we see this across the board. We see shocking things that certain people in political arena have done, and they're still walking around. I'm just saying, is that?
They have that, officers have discretion of what they do, but they also have a backup that pretty much protects them, good faith doctrine, which as long as they're acting in good faith, they can't be charged for something if they're just trying to enforce the law. And
right. That's
dangerous.
I mean, we have presidents, past presidents, and Kennedy is one of them, who warned us to watch out for tyranny in your government, secret governments, right? He warned us about this. So this next one is increasing dependency of the people on the government. Well, aren't we there?
Yeah.
And aren't we there where people believe in their government can do no wrong? The politicians are good people and they can do no wrong. Well, there are good politicians, but there's also a major percentage of them that once they get in that seat or in that position, something happens to them. Okay, these people are wealthy people and they have ways where they can make a lot more wealth because of their positions. So you have the classic approach to domination of the people is to first take everything they have away from them and then make them compliant with the demands of the rulers to get anything back again. So what we're talking about is what's that term when you create the mess and you watch the reaction, problem, reaction, and then the solution.
Yep.
This is what this is saying, basically. So the dirty people create an issue like the red flag thing that we're talking about.
That's why I suggested that everybody go watch that series Jericho, because that's a prime example.
Well, they create the problem, then they watch the reaction of the people. So they want to gauge our reaction. How are we getting this? Are we protesting this? Did we wake up? Did we get this whole piece? Are we now alarmed, or are we just compliant and complacent? Well, then if we have the complacency where we have the reactionary people, well, they give the solution. That's what this is about. So that's increasing dependency of the people on the government, and that's what this whole system is about, where people become so dependent upon the government. Now, here's another one, increasing public ignorance of their civic duties and reluctance to perform them. So when we, the people, avoid doing things like voting and serving in militias and juries, tyranny is not far behind. But now we have, we have a right to vote here in this country, freedom to vote. We have freedom of speech and so on, freedom of peaceful protest. We have all that, but it's no longer free. Now, basically, your vote doesn't count, and I don't think it's counted for a long time, frankly. I really don't. I'm kind of like, with all the research that we've been doing here over the years, we realize that our voting is rigged. As we said before, when the mainstream media can actually put out during an election who's winning, right, and who's going to win, well, that tells you something. But also serving in militias and juries and, you know, when people refuse to do this, but tyranny is not far behind because you're not standing up for your rights. That's what this is basically indicating. But the system is so rigged, you see. It's been rigged for millennia here. So you kind of question, why should I bother voting? Why should I serve in a militia? Why should I serve on a jury? Because the system is so rigged. Okay, so we're already in that frame of mind, basically. But what that does... So that they created the problem where you say, why should I bother voting? Why should I be in a jury? That's because it's all rigged. Okay, they created that. So they watch our reaction. Our reaction is basically that you don't involve yourself in anything. And guess what follows? Tyranny. That's the solution. So, okay, now here's another one. I only have two more here. Use of staged events to produce popular support. These are like acts of terrorism blamed on political opponents, followed immediately with well-prepared proposals for increased power and budgets for suppressive agencies. Something called as the Reichstag plot. I guess that was what they did in Germany.
In the conspiracy world, they call them false flag episodes.
That's right. So, yeah, acts of terrorism, that's we see that. Like, I was sitting here, let me see, for the past 2 weeks, I was saying, okay, there's going to be a red flag event. There's going to be a red flag event. Okay, it's coming up. I know it. I feel it in my bones. Well, sure enough, the biggest red flag, recent one, was the terrorists on the London Bridge. That was just the other day, who killed 2 people, injured 13. Did you see that?
Uh-uh.
Okay, so this was in London on the bridge. So guess what? This guy actually was a terrorist, and he had been imprisoned, and then some judge said his term was too long and he should be released. So they actually released this terrorist. Okay, he was a terrorist. They released this terrorist into the street. And this terrorist actually killed two people and injured 13. And come to find out this morning, guess what? That system, the judicial system over there, released two more terrorists. They don't know where they are. What the heck? The next thing I see is Donald Trump, as the first president, okay, this is a judicial system, the first president who ever stopped a terrorist from being his, basically his term for imprisonment, he's the first president who actually stopped this one terrorist from being released early or being released at all. Now, I find this very fascinating because now you have London judges, okay, released three terrorists who went out, one of them just went out and killed. President Trump, boom, the next day popped up. President Trump, by the way, it says, used his presidency and a law for the first president ever in the United States to prevent a terrorist from being released early. What does this tell you? Are you kind of suspicious of this? Well, I am. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
And so now, the last one here is conversion of rights into privileges. So, requiring licenses and permits for doing things that the government does not have the delegated power to restrict, except by due process in which the burden of proof is on the petitioner. Requiring licenses and permits... Okay, that we have rights, we have privileges. I mean, we have rights, but they're turning them into privileges. They're allowing us these, but they are our original rights.
Yeah.
So now, political correctness. Here we are, full blown in this country, political correctness. So many, if not most, people are susceptible to being recruited to engage in repressive actions against disfavored views or behaviors and led to pave the way for the dominance of tyrannical government. This is the big piece about political correctness.
Yep. And, you know, we mentioned on a previous show this new Real ID Act, which is supposedly to help against illegal immigration, but we all know the truth about. But, you know, here's the thing, you know, I'm a veteran, I got a card for the VA, and I also have a driver's license. I've had my driver's license since I was 16 years old, but when it comes around to it, you got to provide all these different documents to prove who you are, no matter the fact that I've been carrying this around for all these years, and you have to... specifically request to get the real ID in the state that I'm in right now. But if you don't request it, then when that law goes through, you can't get on an airplane. So if I decide from that point on, I don't want that, and I decide I want to get on the airplane, if it don't have that little star at the top of the license, I don't get on the airplane. I don't get in government buildings. And one of the government buildings might very well be the VA, so I wouldn't be able to get, assistance if I needed it.
Well, you have to use your passport to go through state to state here if you don't have that advanced license So I didn't because
so
I forgot.
You're inadvertently being forced into the system in order for you to be able to get certain benefits or be able to go places or even travel without a passport. You're inadvertently being forced into it by, being punished if you don't get it.
Well, if you don't have the advanced license, I was told at the DMV that I need to carry my passport if I'm going to travel in the United States.
Even have a passport. I've lived here, and you've lived here since we were born. And how are we going to... What did I need a passport for? I haven't went overseas,
Well, I have a passport because I have gone overseas, but I'm saying this... But you have to get an advanced license, and yes, that means you are now in the deeper system. of control.
Yeah.
So we have no choice. If you want to travel, even in the country or outside the country, you must be, basically they're forcing you into their controlled system.
Well, I'm guessing that I'm probably going to be confined to my state that I live in right now, because I'm not going to get the real ID. I'm not going to do it. And so whatever happens after that point, I guess I'll just have to deal with it. But essentially, I would be imprisoned in my own state. I wouldn't be able to go visit my brother in Florida, friends in Texas, or other people.
Well, when they start putting up borders between states. They haven't done that yet.
Well, I always said, these doggone roundabouts that they've been putting in out here.
Well, that's another story.
There's a purpose for those.
Oh, I know. Well, it's basically to slow down the escaping traffic.
Yeah.
if you want to escape your town, your city, guess what? There's going to be traffic.
Yeah, you'll have checkpoints in your own doggone city.
Checkpoints. So I just want to finish up here with how do you avoid tyranny? It's very important. So I just identified a number of things we are already have happened here that we are already in a tyrannical system. But the key is always to detect tendencies toward tyranny and suppress them before they go too far or become too firmly established. Well, that didn't happen here, did it? Because, you know why? Because it's incremental. Incrementally, they start taking your rights away, like the war on terror. Well, everybody wanted a war on terror. Well, I didn't, but everybody wanted a war on terror because of 9/11. So, yes, do anything you possibly have to do. It's okay with us. The war on terror, we don't want terrorists to do this again, ever, ever. So, yeah, do whatever you have to do. Well, that was brilliant, actually, and now it's firmly established. So the people must never acquiesce in any violation of their constitution. Well, we've already done that. Hello? With the spying on us, you know?
That's why I say the American people has been extremely tolerant and way beyond reason.
That's exactly right, because they're blindsided and they're dumbed down deliberately. They have no critical thinking. So failure to take corrective action early will only mean that more severe measures will have to be taken later, whatever those are. Guess what? It's revolution. That's what they mean by more severe measures. Perhaps with the loss of life, yes, and the disruption of the society in ways from which recovery may take centuries or not at all. Here we are, folks. I don't know what I asked you when I first started reading this to check out this, basically how tyranny begins and what the methodology is of tyranny. Check and see what's going on in your own country.
Yeah.
Because this is here already, and I know it's in other countries, of course, because we were supposedly a free country. What do they call? Well, we are a republic, as you could say, but everybody says we're a democracy. We have free this, free right to vote. But guess what? Today you don't have a right to vote without being violated and attacked and screamed at and spit on or beat up.
Yeah, you got your own fellow citizens out there, basically manipulating elections by, fear, hook and crook, and even election fraud. That you got dead people voting, and when the mainstream media talks about it, they're always like, oh, well, the statistics show there ain't really any election fraud, which is, we know that's a blatant lie. There's been a lot of episodes where people have been caught doing things and still kept their position. I mean, it's mind-blowing, but... like you mentioned earlier, the system has a way of protecting its members, so to speak.
Well, that's for sure. And so, do you want to go to what's happening in California?
Yeah.
To solve the homeless problem? Because you mentioned, you said you're looking for a link. You're not sure if it's true, but I found this link, so... Here it is. California to solve homeless problem by throwing homeless people in prison. This is so this here is really amazing. So there is no doubt that California is experiencing a homeless crisis. And I have to say, I was looking at this documentary about that, and the doctors, there are several doctors working in that area, nurses and doctors, trying to help those people, right? They have clinics. These doctors, one of them specifically has a radio show, and he was saying that he's terrified of what's happening because of the diseases that are running rampant throughout this the homeless system there in California.
Well, as far as I'm concerned, and I hate to say it because it sounds kind of rude, but California brought that on themselves by, you know, being like sanctuary cities.
Well, sanctuary cities is part of it, but the California... So the system there in California, they are not helping the people, but you have people who have jobs that are homeless out on the street because they cannot afford housing.
Yeah, and then, I mean, don't forget,
that's a crime.
They also said that there was a deadline that all the houses, the new houses, would have to be, what would they say, 0% or something like that, where you're basically all on alternative energy, which is something they fight against anyway, but nonetheless... They want all these houses to be, you know, set up with solar panels and wind turbines or whatever, and nobody can afford that. They want even older buildings retrofitted with this stuff. And so your average Joe, they keep on taxing them even harder. They keep on doing all kinds of crazy stuff to them, not to mention
the food prices, the housing prices. I mean, it's nearly impossible for your average person.
Yep.
Anybody
with common sense would leave California.
Well, I'd say that if you could leave. And people are leaving, by the way. There's also a link I was looking at the other day where droves of people are leaving California. And they're leaving the homeless there because the homeless can't afford to leave.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is it's this crisis of health in the streets there. There are diseases, this doctor said, that are appearing here that have never been here, or that were back in the days of the plague. You know, they may have been here then. But so you have the homeless problem has turned into a public health issue. I'm going to say crisis. As many homeless people struggling with addiction have resorted to using public sidewalks as personal toilets. But the only solution that government seems to want to offer is more police state. Officials in Bakersfield, now this is in Bakersfield, California, just announced that they will be solving their homeless problem by throwing people in jail. Now, under the plan, homeless people would be rounded up under the ostensible charges of misdemeanor drug offenses or potential trespassing and thrown in a cage. While this idea may appear ridiculous to those who can think outside of the police state, when your only tool is a hammer, everything, even innocent people down on their luck, begin to look like nails. So the LA Times reports this tactic would fly in the face of criminal justice reform over the last decade in California, as the state has leaned away from incarceration for low-level nonviolent drug crimes. It also would counter mainstream thinking on preventing homelessness and addressing the reality of it. But according to the report, the plan is being spearheaded by Kern County Sheriff Donnie Youngblood and Kern County District Attorney Cynthia Zimmer. And it also has a lot of support. So many of the advocates of such a program are ignoring the insane costs of incarcerating thousands of people for trespassing or drug possession. Sadly, almost no one is opposing this. And, you know, the people are pressuring the government because the people are disgusted with this homeless problem and feces in the streets and sickness and diseases and on their sidewalks, you know?
Yeah.
So it's like this is what they're going to do. They're going to allow law enforcement, this is in Orange County, California, to immediately arrest homeless people in certain locations, including the John Wayne Airport, flood control channels, and high-risk wilderness areas. The Orange County Board of Supervisors settled two federal lawsuits filed last year aimed at efforts to clear out hundreds of homeless people who were camped out along the Santa Ana riverbed. This is a sad thing.
What a mess.
It goes on. It goes, you know, they're talking. It goes on. I'll pop this into the chat where you can see the absurdity of arresting all these homeless people, basically. No solution here to help these people. No solution. Just throw them in jail. And then the cost of that, you know, again, is the burden of the taxpayers, correct?
Well, not only that, and telling people not to feed the homeless and that kind of stuff, you know, that's in more than just California's people been pulling that. But it's, well, if you
what
keep
is,
on
what is going on? It's like, this is amazing to me to see those people, families on the streets who are trying to survive. They're not drug people. They're not drug people. They don't have drugs. They're just families.
Well, but like you said earlier, the way that the money system's working in California, the high taxes, everything that's going on in California, supposedly for the better of the people, is making it so that people can't afford. And these new houses, they talked about the housing boom over there, you know, they're putting up these brand new houses. Well, most folks can't afford them brand new houses, you know, under the current circumstances. And so you force families in the streets. There's a lot of, remember the tiny home thing that started
yeah.
up? People
yeah.
start looking into tiny houses, people living in their vehicles, buying up tents and living in those. California's got a serious problem. And if they keep going the way that they're going, California's going to have a total collapse of, you know, society.
Well, I think that's, so let's look at that, what you just said. So is this what they're pushing? They're pushing for total collapse. What happens when you have a breakdown in society, total collapse?
Well,
what do the people do?
They clamor for protection. They'll have martial law in the streets, and then other people are going to get mad because those are American citizens that... Well, even citizens that aren't, you know, legal or whatever, you know, illegal citizens or whatever. Anyway, that's a misnomer. But people who are here illegally, let's just say that way. Trying not to have to be politically correct, but trying not to offend people at the same time. But either way, you're gonna have people on both sides of that fence because you do have sanctuary cities, and when the crackdown begins. Who's ever on whichever side, whether it be American citizens or those here illegally, are going to be upset. Well, then you got another divide that you're going to have to contend with, because now people are going to be violent about the whole mess to protect the people.
Well, that's what I think, it's the martial law piece here, but I want to say California seems to be a big target. You got the fires, you've got this homeless situation going. I mean, the people will never be allowed to return to their properties.
Well,
they're
done. The fires that you just mentioned, how many of those people who are homeless are due to those fires? And
yeah.
who started
where
the
are those,
fires?
Where are those? There's millions of people homeless without their property, without their home. Those fires created, they'll never be able to return. So California, to me, seems to be a target state here. But there are other... Let's look at this one piece, because this is a good piece. Let's talk about something good. So the solutions, there are some solutions, actually. You know, you have this Little Rock, Arkansas. What they're doing, they have a system called the Bridge to Work program. In Little Rock, Arkansas, it pays homeless individuals $9.25 an hour to pick up trash and clean the capital city in the state. And so this is the Canvas Community Church that runs this program, and the mayor said that it's been so successful that he is going to extend the program for another year, only a year. But anyway... You know, that's a good thing. So there are solutions to help these people, but you don't see California stepping up to help these people. Their solution is to throw these people in jail and tax the you know, citizens
yep.
for this. It's not helping those people, basically. The system is really corrupted and really messed up big time.
Yeah, well, California's been out of hand for a long time, but a lot of things that end up passing as law in California kind of set precedents that kind of dominoes across the other states as well. And so a lot of people keep their eye on what's going on in California.
Yeah, well, yeah, absolutely. So, you know, then you have the United States of Sodom and Gomorrah.
Yeah.
You know, you have the whole takedown of morals is what this represents.
You know, it's funny you said that because I almost started off today's show with that subject because the morals decline of this country is off the scale.
Well, this statement here, this is a whole link here on this the United States of Sodom and Gomorrah, but one little piece here says, in short, basically the Constitution must be destroyed because, in part, it represents the values of Jesus Christ. The Satanists are roaming the halls of Congress and dressed in Democratic blue, this link says, you know. It's very interesting. You have, you know, we're talking about, I did pop this interesting article into you. I didn't read it fully, but I thought it was very fascinating about this term, God is dead, right?
Yeah.
How books have been written by the particular person, God is dead. And in fact, what this really means is the morals in our system and in society is down the tubes.
Hollywood had a real good hand in that. Not to mention, you know, we put these celebrities up on a pedestal, and what I mentioned earlier about how you had all these celebrities that were reading out the doggone Declaration of Independence when a lot of these celebrities are pro-gun control and, you know, things that actually violate the Constitution. So here you got folks that are saying, you know, reading out something that the reason why, you know, the colonies declared their independence and all in the guy under the guise of freedom. Now here you got your freedom and now you're wanting to deplete it or deteriorate that freedom. Does that make any sense?
Oh, yeah. I mean, this is an agenda, a plot, a brilliant plot, actually, that has been in place for millennia. And so, what do you think about this statement? We all live in Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, some people might think that this is a bit strong, but listen to this. America, under the leadership of the deep state, and that's a long leadership and position, is fast becoming one of the most corrupt and warmongering nations in world history. Now, I'm going to say it's not fast becoming. It has been a warmongering nation in world history. War for profit. No matter how many die, the Nazis have nothing on America, as we have murdered over 70 million of our own. And that is the number of babies that have been murdered, and now we carry out these executions as the babies exiting the womb, even. And we verbally sanitize the act by calling it late-term abortion. But I'm just saying there's so much that the sign that we live in Sodom and Gomorrah here, and now we have a very interesting thing on the Pentagon, a leaked Pentagon video about flu vaccine use to modify human behaviors. Okay.
Yeah.
So this is, we know this is happening already. We know what's going on pretty much with the vaccines. We know what's going on with the fluoride to modify human behavior and the 5G or whatever the heck it is. I mean, we know that there are things happening here to societies all over the world. That's why we say evil is afoot. And that's why we say, using that term, God is dead. Now, because it's the morals, basically, the morals that keep society afloat. It's the goodness, it's the unity, it's the compassion, it's the caring That's what keeps society afloat.
Well, those lack of morals compounded with greed and selfishness that gets a lot of these protesters out in the streets doing ridiculous things towards other citizens under the guise of fighting fascism. They become the same fascists that they're claiming that they want to fight against, at the same time while securing their own oppression. They're doing it to themselves. It's unbelievable. I wonder how many of these people that are out there protesting and really don't even know what the heck they're protesting over. I wonder how many of them's all stoned out of their gourd, not thinking clearly, not actually out there, exercising their rights, so to speak, but actually out there, just following like a pack mentality and, we're going to get the bad guy kind of thing. They just want to be part of something.
Well, there's part of that, but I feel that there's a controlled mind control system going on, and I've been researching the behaviors of, noting for the last couple of years I've talked about this, is certain behaviors of people is so shocking and stunning. It's mind-blowing that you see what people are doing. And then you hear a shooter say, well, I heard this voice in my head saying, kill, yeah, kill, kill. Then you hear somebody, you read something that they killed their child because they were told the devil is in that child. They were exorcising their child, so they killed the child. What is going on? I mean, this is a whole other arena. You have to kind of stretch your mind to see this perspective that I'm talking about the mind control. Now we have this leaked Pentagon video that are talking about how vaccines are basically going to, modify human behavior. Well, if they're going to modify it, then they can also accelerate it.
Well, Bill Gates even openly in public said, you can see the video. He openly in public said that if we do a good job with vaccination, we can reduce the population.
That's right. He did openly at a TED Talk.
Yeah.
He proposed this as a possibility, but don't you feel, and I think we've kind of learned this, whatever they put up in the movies or whatever is written in a book or whatever some politician stands up and says or a scientist stands up and said, this is a possibility or this is where we're heading or this is what might happen, then it's already happened.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, like they say, life imitates art, and they claim that the modern Hollywood and movies, all that is art, but a lot of it's really offensive. It's degrading to women. It promotes violence and drug usage and, the good guy versus the bad guy. They even make it seem like the bad guy is really a nice guy. He's a good guy in the deal.
Oh, well, like the Bendotti there.
Yeah.
The mainstream media and some of the politicians were touting him as a scholar, as a religious scholar. Meanwhile, he's a terrorist who has killed many people.
Yeah.
But that's the sickness of the system and the deep state, who are protecting their own. This is the one, their puppets, who they use, the puppets. But, I want to say that prophecy, I have to go to prophecy here, because everything that we're talking about really is within, has been prophesied, not only through indigenous persons who have these same prophecies as the Bible, called the book, the Bible prophecies, and also I personally have received prophecies that I find here we are today, and these are being fulfilled, specifically the prophecy of chaos, and specifically the prophecy of chaos that relates to Donald Trump. As a preacher said, he received information when Trump was running, and everybody saw how he was presented as a crazy, insane, misogynist, sexist, whatever. And this preacher said he received information from God that Trump was God's chaos candidate. And I received, prior to that, before I found that, a message in the middle of the night, the way Spirit Creator often gives me messages, woke me up and said, President Trump, Donald Trump will be the president, and chaos will be rising. Now we see the term chaos being used all over the place, and chaos is rising. Well, what does that mean in as far as prophecy? You know, I always say, this is my perception, prophecy is not written in stone. Prophecy is a warning. Like, prophecy gives us a head up. Okay, do you want to go down this pathway? Like the Hopi prophecy says there are two pathways. It says this prophecy will happen if you go on that pathway, and this will be prophesied if you go on that pathway. One is doom, and the other one is life. Yeah? So, to me, I say prophecy is not written in stone. It is a warning to us, just like the Hopi prophecy is, that you can change. Basically, the message is change your behavior.
Well, I believe that, too.
If you don't change your behavior, well, this is what this prophecy says is going to happen. If you do wake up and you do change your behavior, this other prophecy says, you know, humanity will survive. And we won't have a nuclear ending or whatever kind of ending. So, but I look at the prophecies that are right in our face now, and we talk about the prophecy of Sodom and Gomorrah. We see what, you know, what, like you said before, what Hollywood has brought about, and what mainstream media and various other things have brought about. We see the pedophilia, we see the porn, we see the excessiveness of our societies, the disregard, the you know, the uncaring, the hate, the violence. We see all this rising in the chaos, right? And the perpetrating of this demise of goodness and compassion and unity. You know, today, what's happening is you cannot say, because I've run into this personally, you cannot say we are all children of this earth. We are all children, and you could add of different colors, all rainbow colors. We are all children of this earth created by one creator.
Well, I believe what so you too. Are,
when you say that, a person of color now says, well, then if you say that, you are disallowing me, my story, my victim story, my horror story about what happened to me, you know, as a person of color. They, in other words, they don't want to say we are all one people, we are all children of this earth, because then you're disallowing their story, you see. Now, what that means is that persons who have been violated, well, guess what? As a white woman, I'm not actually fully white. I am a person of color, by the way. And I told this to that person. I found out that there is African heritage in my family. African, even Jewish. Somewhere in my family, there was an Hasidic Jew that married into my family. And I'm indigenous. I'm an Indian, Irish, French, English, German, plus, you know, Jewish, and plus African. So I'm not a white person, okay? Many of us, even white supremacists who were on this show that took people's DNAs to find out what their heritage was, a white supremacist was on this show. I'm calling him a white supremacist, but maybe that's extreme. But he did hate. He hated black people. He hated Jews. He spoke about this on this show, and they did his DNA. Okay, and they found out, come to find out, guess what? He has African heritage. That floored that man. So you think about this. He's thinking he's full white, a white person, and he hates black people or he hates Jews. But man, the guy has in his heritage, in his family, somebody was an African and somebody, you know. So what does that tell us? Where we are all being pitted against each other. This is part of the prophecies.
Well, also, a lot of the things that people are trying to make normal that, you know, wouldn't normally be, like all the different genders that they're talking about now. But I looked up, and I probably shouldn't, because Google, you know how Google likes to profile everybody, but so probably point me out as a freak.
I'm profiled very big. I don't care.
But I wanted to look up a name of this one particular group that is the advocate for pedophilia. And you'd be surprised at the list. Now, keep in mind, I got this off of the EnglishWikipedia.org, and I don't really trust Wikipedia at all. But, you know, there's still some information in there that you can look into. But either way, the group that I was looking for was, what's it called? It's in the United States, NAMBLA for short. It's North American Man-Boy Love Association. These groups actually freaking exist out there in all these different nations. And, you know, are actively trying to get things maneuvered around. It's like for the abortion thing, okay, so that's like different subject a lot. They're both severe, but, you know, when you're murdering children, that's one thing, and now they're advocating, other things with children. I'm trying not to use some disgusting things, but anyway, so at one point, it was a certain point of, how long a child was in the mama, and now you've got the late-term abortion, which, like you said, makes it sound like, it's not so bad. Well, you're essentially murdering a baby at that point. But as far as most people who are, anti-abortion, you're murdering the baby, period, from start to finish. But as time progressed, you get to the point where it goes from maybe a couple weeks into a pregnancy or a day after pill or something like that to a late-term abortion, and it gets to the point where you have a large section of society said it's the woman's choice, that kind of thing. Well, it won't be long before they'd be trying to push this kind of stuff on you. Now, see, I'm not anti-gay or nothing like that. To each his own. Do what you're going to do with your life. You have to answer to your own creator. That's your own business, all right? Just don't shove it in my face. The White House is supposed to be a neutral ground for representation, and during the Obama administration, they literally projected the gay pride flag up on the side of the White House.
Well, yeah, because that was Obama's law,
basically. But wouldn't you think that to do that, you're just basically spitting in the faces of all those who don't agree to that lifestyle, and you're pushing it up there like, oh, look what we did, And is that not going to cause division?
Well, of course, it has deliberate division. This is the whole point, is what we're saying here, deliberate. So this... this article here is really, it's like talking about telling it like it is, but it's a perspective nevertheless. But so I'm not going to read the whole thing, but here's just a little blurb here. It says, most recently, transgender has been forced upon society as the new normal, not only men dressing as women, but men and women slicing off body parts and crafting new genitalia, all in the name of how one individual feels about his or her gender.
Well, not only that, going into a women's restroom while still a man.
Well, that was Obama's law.
Yeah.
So what God created, be damned.
Yeah.
And it's normal now, we're told. In fact, Barack Obama believes you and I should pay for it as a regular coverage in Obamacare insurance requirements. So now you have... so what could possibly be next? What is the next normal? Guess what? It's pedophilia. Because this writer says, I kid you not, pedophilias are coming out and declaring their sexual proclivity for children is just how they were created. After all, they tell us, who would choose to be that way? That logic sounds alarmingly familiar. So we're talking about the push to create... or make the acceptance, total acceptance of pedophile, normal. It's normal now. It's becoming normal, more and more normal. This was a Washington Times article, Pedophiles the Next Normal. It's very disturbing to me because, again, I have to keep going back to the morals of society is being broken down, and what happens when you have no morals? Well, Sodom and Gomorrah, there we are.
Yep.
Anything, it's a free-for-all, folks. You want to do whatever you want to do, you can eventually create it as normal.
Barry wants to jump in there with us.
Oh, sure.
Okay, I'll throw him in there. But yeah, see, that's the problem, and it happens incrementally like that, and so that, you know, you don't see it coming. And those who do see it coming and say something about it, well, you're automatically declared racist, a homophobe.
Well, all the isms have come out.
Yeah.
If you have a perspective, and you're with a group of people that have a different perspective, there's no dialogue. There's no, you know, finding a balance or a commonality. You're just basically tagged as a racist or a white supremacist or whatever it is. You're politically incorrect today. And
well,
there's many of those tags to put you in your corner and to shut you up. People are being threatened pretty much, and they are shutting up because who wants to be threatened?
The closest I come to an ist would be I would classify myself as a constitutionalist because I believe in the Constitution to the extent that it's the best we got at this moment to protect the rights of the people and to, ensure that the those who govern are only there by the consent of the governed. You see what I'm saying? That's the closest.
When you have a president of the United States like Obama basically presenting these laws that confuse the population and basically ignore one part of the population and bring in rights and so on that you could say, well, morals might disagree with or they are immoral, you know, like pedophilia, that's concerning.
Well, there was a time.
It should be concerning.
There was a time when you went to school that a Christmas play was just that. It was a Christmas play. The last Christmas play that I went to at a school nearby me was all about aliens. Had nothing to do with what Christmas really stands about.
Well, that's funny.
You see.
But listen to me. Listen though, Shazus. This, in a way, there's been an imbalance in this because when you go to school in our time, you did the Pledge of Allegiance or you said a prayer.
Yeah.
Okay, now this is a religious, having taken a religious bent, okay, in the school system where there are many different children in that school. There are people who are not, of your religion, for instance.
Yeah,
I
get that.
But so you have that. Now you can't put a manger up on your lawn. Now you have to have a menorah on your lawn and you have to have a whatever else on your lawn or you can't have anything on your lawn. It's like you can't say a prayer, you can't, do certain things. In a way, I kind of agree. It's not really right when you have all types of people in schools. And I never thought of this. When I was in school, we all said a prayer or the Pledge of Allegiance. But now you have, there are people in there who don't follow that religion. Maybe they have a different religion, but you're basically, they're forced or were forced to, in that system, to do what they're told and ignore their own, right.
Well, okay, so. I think I agree with you for the most part, but I think that if you're going to teach things in school, such as evolution, that you also should teach that there's ideas of creation as well. And if you're going to talk about, any type of religious thing that you would touch on, the belief systems of each of these groups. But it's either all or nothing. That's what I'm saying.
It's either all or nothing, but there has been a division there, a deliberate division, even about evolution and creation.
Yeah.
Creation is, so you have had this deliberate, basically instructive mind control factor to basically keep us in disunity and separated and hating each other.
Yeah.
That's where I see it.
I used to go around and watch these YouTube videos of hardcore atheists out there on YouTube versus Christians or other religions like that. And some of the hatred, the evil stuff that would come out of the mouths of these people was mind-blowing.
In the name of God.
Well, on both sides. But if you don't believe in something, that's all right. That's your choice. Now, I guess their argument is that they don't want it forced in their face. Well, vice versa. You don't want it forced in your face. But the way that the people interacted with each other was so vile. On both sides of the fence. Now, there were some out there who, you know, pretty much took it on the chin and allowed some of these really hardcore atheists to say really filthy things to them. But nonetheless, it still shows a division that in my point of view, it's an intentional deal.
Well, I think so. And what comes to my mind is our freedom of speech is being deliberately taken down and eliminated, but this is basically one of our constitution right is a freedom of speech. But now you have in the universities and various other arenas where if you are speaking about your perspective on anything, whether, you know, whatever it is, you are attacked now. Freedom of speech is being taken down, but this is an issue. So you have a white supremacist or a KKK person who wants to talk at a university, and so he's being attacked and basically disallowed to have his speech or have his talk. But it's not just this KKK person. It's across the board. If you have a political bent that is right, in the right or in the left, you're basically being attacked and disallowed to speak. This is where we are going. Now, I'm not saying that I want to go to a university or anywhere and listen to a white supremacist or a KKK person spew out stuff, or a Satanist, for instance. Now you have the religion of the Luciferian religion or Satanist religion being pushed into our system, where they have a right also to express and teach their perspective on their religion. This is where we are today. So how do we deal with this? Because if we have free speech, freedom of religion and free speech, how do we deal with this? Because there's extremes and excess happening here in both arenas. There's no balance, you see. We've been pushed into a position of such disharmony and such controversy, but everything is becoming out of balance. The tipping point is being reached where there is no harmony, no balance. It is so extreme that we've lost that.
Well, putting a doggone Baphomet right next to a manger scene is pretty much an intentional dig at the other side.
Yeah.
So that shouldn't be allowed.
But that was the church.
Yeah.
No, the Baphomet statue was put in the Colosseum, in the doorway of the Colosseum, where there was persecution and violence and murder upon citizens in the times of Rome, where people sat in the audience in the bleachers yelling and laughing and applauding the violence and murder and ripping apart of a human being.
Yeah, that's pretty bad.
And where are we heading today? I mean, I don't know. I'm just looking at this stuff. But, you know, me, what I say is I know this is a crucial time that we are here for. I see these things rising up. I see something happening that is hidden behind the scenes. There is a big message here, and I feel strongly that this is the battle. We say the spiritual battle. All of us speak about the spiritual battle. Well, the spiritual battle has basically been going on for the beginning of time, between the dark and the light. I'm going to say evil, okay, and what is good. Evil, which is, we could say what we know that is, and also what is good, we know what that is. I'm not speaking from a religious perspective because I don't... you know me, I believe that organized religion is really a damaging system. I believe that we are all sacred children, and I believe that we all are in relationship already with our Creator. There's no one human being who has the right to tell us how to get to our Creator. And so, this is my belief.
Well,
I believe that the system is so corrupted, it is meant to be creating this disharmony for the fall of civilization, you know?
And, you know, I can understand that.
That's historic. We've been there before. So if we are in a spiritual battle, how do we solve this disharmony and this disunity and this violation of what is sacred? This is up to us.
Well, the first thing that I can even contemplate on is getting to the point of knowing, understand that you're being pitted against each other to begin with, finding out where it's actually coming from. It's across every single subject on the entire board. Don't matter which subject you put out there, there's an alternative view to the deal, and somebody on the other side can step in and say, well, we can fix this by changing the First Amendment, or we can regulate that you can't say certain things, and now you're in a situation where you got to be really careful about what you say on certain platforms, or you get shut down. There ain't no freedom of speech there.
Well, you get attacked, severely attacked today in this day and age, and there's no dialogue anymore. There's just attacking.
And that's what they want. They don't want us talking to each other.
They don't want us talking. They don't want us in unity. They want disharmony, basically. And this is historic because this has happened before. You can go way back into different civilizations, and you see the rise and then basically the corruptness that starts to happen and the pitting of people against each other in the fall.
We got two more guests here, Barbara.
Yeah, I know. I'm excited that we have two more guests. We've been talking for 2 hours here when you guys are late.
You're like the Duracell money perp.
I need a break.
Your thought process is amazing, and I love listening to you talk. We've had many conversations over the years, but when we talk about divisions in society, it's just amazing how many divisions they've actually put into society. We don't recognize them as divisions. We don't, because they're just a part of the new norm. But everything they do is meant to divide us. And it can be simple as who won the hockey game last night, and my team is better than your team, and we won the Grey Cup. Well, yeah. I see all these celebrations. I see people out in the streets in Winnipeg just going crazy. My team won the Grey Cup. Well, what really does that have? What kind of influence does that have on real life consequences?
I don't know.
It makes you feel good. It makes them feel good for a day, and the next day they're right back to the same crap they were dealing with before the Blue Bombers won the Grey Cup.
Yeah, but
we could talk about multiple things that divide society.
During that process,
meanwhile, back at the ranch, old Snively Whiplash has got his hand in the cookie jar, and,
we're talking distraction. Yeah. We have distractions that people are basically taking sides. The distractions are to prevent people from focusing on the real issues that we are all dealing with, the serious issues. So let's, have a football game and you side with this one. Let's have a hockey. This is distractions, and people
keep them entertained, Barbara. Keep them entertained, and they won't look over here and see what's going on.
Right.
We could look at Rome as an example of how it went to from mild gladiator states to full-blown killing gladiator state. We're getting close to that in our society, and what happened to Rome will happen to us. Anytime that happens in a society, that society collapses. It's happened over and over again. And you're right, you could refer to many, many times in history where it's happened, Barbara. Same agenda's been played out, and here we see it today. And sure, we have free speech as long as you talk on their narrative. If you go against the narrative, you are shut down. And we see it with people like Jordan Peterson, with Ben Swan, Ben Shapiro, all these conservative people. We can see it with the rebel media here in Canada. The only conservative voice in media in Canada is under attack constantly. It's ramping up.
We're going to see censorship
on the internet here coming up that's going to blow everybody's mind.
I just want to say one thing, then I have to step out of it. I'll be back, but Jordan Peterson, you guys want to listen to Jordan. I've been listening to him
I've listened to everything he's ever
said. He is brilliant
and unbelievably brilliant man.
He is on it. He's like a channel, right? You can see where he goes in his mind, how he hones in on a source that is so right on, so brilliant. Anyway, I'll be right back.
Yeah, no, I agree, Barbara. Everybody should sit down and listen to Jordan Peterson talk. I don't think there's a video that he's put out that I haven't listened to. I have a hard time comprehending everything that he says and trying to keep up with him because his thought process is just incredible, but everybody should listen to George. How you doing, Duke?
I'm good, Barry. Hi, Shazaz. How are you, bud?
Pretty good. Yourself?
Oh, I'm hanging in there for an old fat guy slowly getting covered in freezing rain and ice pellets here in Niagara.
Yes.
Well, you deserve it.
It's that global warming, brother. It's everywhere.
It's them cow farts out west that are causing the problem. I'm telling you, we got to switch over to vegan food.
That's it. We'll save the planet, Duke. I know.
Well,
I have a new t-shirt design coming out for all of the western part of North America, from Montana and Wyoming all the way up to northern Alberta and northern Saskatchewan. The t-shirt says, "This is cattle country. Eat beef, you bastards."
Watch your language.
Well, sorry.
I just saw a video the other day where these folks were talking about eating bugs, and they actually made a bug buffet, and they were eating it. And I'm like, man, there ain't no way in heck that I'm eating no bugs.
Buddy, I'm telling you, all you have to do right now is go on the internet and Google carbon levels in our atmosphere. And I have read 9 reports here in the last week. I've gone over every one of them, just quickly ran through them, but they're all saying the exact same thing, that our carbon levels are at a dangerously low point right now. Carbon is the essence of life on the planet. We're attacking carbon, and carbon is at a very, very low point right now.
Well,
I don't have the pictures right in front of me, Shaziz, but, you know, here we are attacking carbon, and carbon is the essential factor in life on this planet.
They're attacking everything we need to live. They're attacking everything that has to do with morality. We just mentioned earlier about some of these organizations out there openly promoting pedophilia, and what's going to be next after, you know, all this other stuff is they will literally make it like a norm, you know, and that's going to make more division.
What about the Liberal government now wanting to pass legislation in Canada allowing children to ask the doctor to euthanize them without the parents' permission?
Jeez.
Can you believe the levels of insanity in this government?
Before we get into that, can I just backtrack a little bit to a conversation you were having when I first came in?
Yeah.
There were two words strung together that I think a great, great many people, be they religious or non-religious, seem to miss the meaning of these two words when they're put together and the effect that putting them together has on the overall meaning of the base word. Those two words are organized and religion.
Yeah.
As soon as you combine the word religion with the word organized, you change the word religion.
Yeah.
And in numerous religions, their original writings, and it's not just Christianity, in numerous religions, they're taught that their church is all around, not in a temple, not in a structure built, it's all around them.
Yeah.
But yet, as soon as someone realized you can influence others with this ideology, it became organized. And what happens when you organize your desk? You take control of it. What happens when you organize the clothes in your closet? You take control of your closet. What happens when you organize the people believing in a certain religion or ideology? You take control of those people. That's what organized religion is. Case in point, the Roman Catholic Church needed money. They owned all the fishing fleets. They convinced Roman Catholics that eating red meat on Friday days was against God's wishes and they should eat fish. So the church made all kinds of money off its fishing fleet and could pay its bills. And as for the reference to Barry's reference to Rome and how our society is going down the same path, I remind you that Rome got to the point where they demanded bread and circuses. Don't give us prosperity, feed us and amuse us, Hulk Hogan. It's been going on for generations. The control and the mind warping.
Well,
there's something deeper. I'm sorry.
Go ahead,
I'm just listening to you, and yeah, the organized religion thing. There's something else going on that's much deeper and much darker. And it's about the soul.
Let's delve on that part. How dark is it, and where does the darkness come from?
I'm trying to say something. If you'll let me, I will speak on it. And you guys, this is my perception. There's something dark and evil. It's about the souls of the people.
Oh.
It's about the blood sacrifices that war creates. It's about the blood sacrifices that even the religious organizations have participated in. This is where you have to back up and look at the big picture to me. It's not just about the money. That's part of it. It's about the souls. It's about the sacred. It's about the light. It's about the vulnerability and the sacredness of children. Okay? It's about the soul of the people, the spirit soul. It's about the blood sacrifice that they have basically maintained to feed an evil. You want to call it whatever, Satan, I don't care what you call it. This is what we're talking about. This is what I see happening here. So now you can just go with that and see what you guys think.
You can all
reach for the internet, kiss her on the cheek.
Now there's a war on everything. Everything out there, there's a war on it. There's a war on drugs, a war on terrorists, a war on women, a war on men. A war on race, everything you can think about, there's a war on about it. And all these so-called proclaimed wars, like the war on drugs, have caused more harm and devastation to society than anything. What about a war on poverty? California's talking about locking up homeless people, and if they have any kind of government benefits, seizing those assets to take care of those people while they're incarcerated and while they basically get these people back on their feet, so to speak.
What about a war on the addictiveness of pharmaceutical psychotropics?
Yeah.
That have 37 million Americans now addicted. Visualize the society where that's taken away in 24 hours, and what would we have? Where that movie Zombie Apocalypse, when they put it out, man, we all thought it was entertainment. But we're getting so close to that, and all it would take is a trigger mechanism. Big Pharma has all kinds of little toys in their toolbox that they can bring out that would turn society into a zombie apocalypse. We could talk about 5G, we could talk about nanotechnology and the fibers and the metals that are in our body and how that's going to interact. And then we talk about all the different things that are affecting our health. Well, this is all an orchestrated attack to make the human being, the human soul, so weak that we will conform to anything that comes down on the tubes.
So
because chaos.
So what do we do, Barry? What do we do to not get discouraged, knowing that all this stuff is coming down on us like like some sort of hailstorm or something?
We can talk about it. We can talk about issues, but to me, it's more just being personally ready in my mind and my soul, for I know there is bad stuff coming. We're all convinced of that. We can't exactly put our finger on what's going to happen, but we know there's a trigger mechanism going to happen here in the next little while. Well, we can put a date on it, but we know it's coming to a crescendo. That's very, very clear that there's going to be a major change in society. And really, you watch society fall into a total state of chaos, and we've said it 1,000 times on this show that out of chaos comes control. Along will come the knights in the white shining armor with the answer to the problem. In comes a new currency. Boy, I'll tell you, our currencies right now around this world are at a tipping point. All we take is one little pinprick in the bubble right now, and the whole thing will collapse. That's how close we are to a major economic collapse worldwide. We talked about that lots of times, Barbara.
I want to keep this focused because I think when we're talking about, we often talk about frequency and energy, that everything in creation has a frequency and energy, right? There's either positive or negative, and of course our participation in this life is a manifester of positive or negative, right? And so when you have needing of despair, somebody needs despair. Something needs hate. Something needs despair. Something feeds off of hate. Something feeds off of despair. Violence, war, blood sacrifice, whatever you want to call it. Something, that something needs that in order to keep control. When you have certain peoples in certain high positions who sold their soul to the devil, if you want to call it that, they need to keep feeding their owner, the one who controls them. That's the agreement they made. They need to perpetrate violence and hatred. They need to perpetrate where blood is spilled, basically, where souls go into despair, where children are violated, that creates the worst terror, a frequency of terror, a frequency of despair. This is a frequency energy that is eaten by what is dark. That's the way things, you know, the way things function. So this is what we're looking at. If we can, when we're talking about this, I feel that when you know what is going on and you know there is an enemy, number one, and you know that enemy is relentless and you know that that enemy is manipulating you and your people, your families, and what is really good and sacred, when you know and understand that there is something that wants to destroy what is sacred, the sacred creation, which is you and all people and children and everything, when you know that there is an enemy, that's why we say this is a war, a spiritual war, okay, then you can do something. Then you can learn how to align yourself with the light, with Creator, with God, Yahweh, Wangkan Tsongkhan, whomever you choose, whatever, or it doesn't have to even be that. It could just be goodness, compassion, the significance of aligning yourself with that light, with goodness, okay, as opposed to aligning yourself with evil and hate and violence, because you are manifesting and then creating what you know what you're going to experience. So we're all a part of this. So when people need to come to know the enemy, then you better know how to put your shield up, how to protect yourself and your people through these various ways. We call it prayer. We call it ceremony. We call it alignment with source, with Creator. It's a power. It's a powerful frequency.
It sure is. I agree, Bart.
Well,
so I guess that's the solution. I'm saying, you say, Chaz, you say, what can we do? You know, you can talk about all this horrible stuff about what they're doing on this level, but there's a different level here we're talking about. This is about your soul.
Yeah.
This is about,
I agree.
Right?
But shining light on the dark is important. I don't like to put on dark stuff because it's
I don't even want
to think about some of the things that go on,
but I have to talk about it, right? So all this dark stuff we're talking about, who's creating this? Who's manifesting that? I mean, we are all participating here, but there's something else that is manipulating your mind, manipulating your words, manipulating you, basically, to align with these dark stuff, right? Or you can, you know, step on that other side, step on that other path. This is crucial time, I feel. It's the battle of the dark and the light for your spirit, for your soul, for humanity. That's just my perspective.
Well,
there's
a comment in the chat room says, we are in a time when spirits get eaten. We must protect our spirit. Now, I agree. I fully believe that. You know, the book says that we don't fight against flesh and blood. And
that's right.
So what we got going on is a lot more that meets the eye. But, you know, first you got to know you're being had before you can even contemplate on doing it. And most of the people out there seem to be so blinded with their own selfishness or, you know, their political ideology or whatever, that they're, it's like the red team versus the blue team. I'm going to go out and beat somebody up because they got a red hat on, that kind of mindset. You know,
yeah.
We got to get through to those people there so that they can understand. I know it ain't our job to bear the whole burden of the world on our backs, but I think what we do as far as talking and discussing the subjects that we do, at least, that's why I said when we very first started here, I said, I hope that these words reach the right ears, because we got some serious issues going on right now that could very well not turn out so good, if you understand what I'm saying. You know, the red flag law and who would interpret who's dangerous and who's not. And, you know, essentially a warning to the world. This this country we call the United States seems to be the last beacon of freedom as far as, you know, to the extent of what rights we believe we have that are constantly being under attack. But once the United States collapses, you know, there's no more constitution. And the mess that we would find ourselves in after that point, because of the type of mentality and lack of morals and the weaponry that is here in the United States, there is not going to be a winner of a second civil war here in the United States. The whole world's going to lose. And that's a fact.
Yeah, well,
huh?
I'll add one quick thought to that. You know, if you wanted to take over the world, you would attack the beacon of freedom in this world. And that has been the United States for the last 50 years. So what we've seen the last 50 years is an all-out attack on the human.
Yeah.
The mental health of the American people.
They find
We've
subjects.
Talked about this before on shows. We say that, you know, America and Canada now are the sickest nations in the world, yet we spend 10 times as much on health care as the next closest countries in the world.
You're right.
So why is that? This has all been sat down and thought about. Think tanks. Big Pharma is at their pinnacle of success right now. Everybody in our society is sick, and we see that. We see an incredible rise in cancer in children that just absolutely blows my mind. We see an incredible rise in vaccine programs. And now the information coming out about China, how the one company was caught blatantly adding very addictive and harmful additives to the vaccines being sent to North America. Well, what are we doing? We're allowing China to produce our pharmaceutical drugs. That's like giving the enemy a gun to go and take care of the chicken coop when you're in the chicken coop.
Yeah.
It's insanity, and this just came out. So really what we're seeing right now is the American people are at a point where they're all sick, that they have to work two jobs to pay the bills. They don't know what's going on around them. They're being bombarded with all kinds of false information. It's turning into a real mess, but it's all by design, because at a certain point, when they push the button, the American people are going to lose their minds, and I can see that coming.
Anon 951 in the chat room said impossible without your consent, was talking about your spirit getting eaten, I believe, on that other comment that was made. But that's the problem. A lot of people these days are actually giving the beast their consent by complying to a lot of these things, like don't go out and feed the homeless, or, you know, we're going to
arrest you for feeding the homeless.
Yeah, we're going to imprison the homeless, or even you for that matter. And all these different little picks at everything from all the different amendments to the Constitution to, you know, people's morality, the attacks on the family, marriage in general. You know, there's actually been, you know, talk about getting people reliant on the state. There were people who were actually told by supposed what do they call them, representatives or whatever of like the, you know, the social services or whatever, that if the father's in the home, then they won't be able to get the benefit. So it'd be better off if the father not even lived there. And so this has all been incrementally over time put into place to break down each portion of these societies. And we're actually helping the system by complying with that. If I was a father and they wouldn't give my my family benefits that they needed, I would at least go out and try to find me a dang job, something, you know. But it promotes not wanting to do things. It promotes that you are entitled to these things. And unfortunately, you know, I don't want to see anybody starve. I think we live in a world with vast resources, and if we can't feed the hungry right now, we got a serious problem. With all the food that gets wasted on a regular basis, California's got a huge homeless problem. California's got a lot of problems, but nonetheless, their homeless problem is getting out of hand. If they
were they got the solution.
Huh?
They want to put them all in jail. The new solution is put them all in jail.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. What's wrong with the solution of taking a lot of the food that would have otherwise gone to waste and helping these people and doing everything you can to find them a place where they can you know have some dignity and live and have a chance to start building their lives up? But the greed, you know, a fancy restaurant doesn't want homeless people being fed out in a park right in front of their building because they're making money selling food. They don't want their customers to have to see this. You see what I'm saying? And so it's that person that owns that restaurant. It's your next door neighbor. It's each of those protesters out there. All of you actively working to ensure that system can oppress your brothers and sisters. You're doing it. You're allowing them to do that. You are doing it with your consent. Every single time you call the law enforcement on your neighbor because his grass is too tall. You see what I'm saying? That's the problem.
I think we've got to give Dupitz a chance to talk here because he's been sitting quiet.
What do you think, Duke?
Oh, I'm here.
You've got to talk. You've got the talking stick for a couple minutes, Duke.
Well, actually, I think Shazaz was on a pretty good roll. And, well, I'm still busy daydreaming here about reaching through the internet and kissing Barb right on the cheek for the way she was talking about how this is all about our souls. And she referred to Tom Quiggin. Well, I have to refer to Tom Quiggin. Back in November of 2017 in Toronto, at one point during a question and answer period, Tom Quiggin said, and I quote, "It's interesting you refer to this as a war because it is a war of ideologies. It's real and it's global." What is a war of ideologies? It's a war for your mind.
Yep.
People keep asking me, when's the war coming? Newsflash, it's been going on for over a half a century.
Yep, and it's getting worse. The problem is people have to wake up and realize it. But, you know, you put shiny things down in front of people, you put the bread and circus out there, and they forget all about the problems. It's like I said earlier, meanwhile, back at the ranch, Schneibly Whiplash has got his hand in the cookie jar. And we're not paying attention. We're sitting here watching as these politicians out there are actively breaking the law, violating their oaths of constitution, and turning around and getting by with things that you and I would probably be so far into the jail we'd be speaking a foreign language. You know?
Yeah.
So, you know, what gives here?
What does that tell you? It's interesting what you just said, Duke. It's very curious to me. What does that tell us that the persons that question you, well, when's the war coming, when's the war coming? And it's right in your face, this war. It's been going on, and yet they don't see it. What are they thinking? They're not thinking. There's no critical thinking. So when they can't even say, you know, the war is here, it is for our minds, it is for our soul, it has been going on for millennia now.
Yep.
So there is a great majority of people who, again, I have to say, that are indoctrinated into the system that have no critical thinking. They have no awareness. They have no sensitivity to the signs and the signals of manipulation and control. Correct.
There's a brilliant comment in the chat room. Anon 1710 said, without prisons being kept full, the prison industrial complex will go hungry, and we cannot have that. Of course, they're saying that sarcastically, but a lot of folks don't know that most of the prisons these days are for-profit prisons. They get paid to keep those beds full. And so, you know, the money-making scheme is in every doggone direction, and that's what I've been trying to tell all these doggone protesters for a long time. When you're out there thinking you're sticking it to the man, smashing up the windows of your own community and ensuring that those businesses won't come back and give you a job, then what have you done to the man? You didn't do nothing to the man. You just hurt your own self and your brothers and sisters. That's what you did. So why would you want to go out there and protest when you could actually get out there and physically do something? If you're into saving the planet, get out there and clean something up. There's a lot to be cleaned up. Don't stand there with a wooden stick and a paper sign saying save the trees. Get out there and plant a tree. You know? Proactive.
This is interesting. Neo here on People for People says, this is very interesting. He says it is crucial that people don't resonate, or I'm going to say do not resonate with their name as being who they are, but they resonate with a prime creator, co-creator, soul, who has a name. It is the name which is binding you to this system.
Bingo.
Right? That's right on.
Well, I'm sorry, it went over my head to try to put that in crazy Shaziz language, because I lost it.
Okay. Well, go ahead, Duke.
Yeah, if I can interject here for a bit, Barb. Shazaz, just last week, I did one of my shows with a gentleman here. He only uses an alias, JD. We did a whole show about how people have had to change their name here in Canada from the all caps government registration on their birth certificate.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And remove themselves from being property of the corporation.
Yeah, that makes sense.
In order to implement common law jurisdiction in a court, because a free man, two separate words there, a free man can only be tried under common law, not admiralty or corporate jurisdiction,
yeah,
which is what you often in the U.S. run into, and we have here in Canada, unabridged. It's all corporate administrative law.
That's another thing that really gets me, is a lot of folks don't realize that these courts that they're going into aren't the same courts of the old. They're corporations is what they are, and they're in there for profit, flat out. Everybody I know who goes to court takes money with them because they know they're going to lose. Unless you got a really good high dollar attorney who can turn the words, say the right things, and offer the judge essentially a bribe, I'll give you three times the fine, just don't put no points on my license, you know, that kind of thing.
This reminds me of, because here, of course, you know, the system has put in place that when you are born, you know, you are registered, right? Birth certificate and footprints and whatever else. So they register into the system, right? So now you belong to this system. You were owned by basically the governmental system. You're not a free person. You're not sovereign, according to their terms. But the fact that we are sovereign beings, as far as our spirit, soul, and our humanity, or you want to say our creation, that we are free, sovereign beings, right? That when you identify yourself with this name that was given to you on that document,
yeah, it makes perfect sense now.
What?
I say it makes perfect sense now.
This is new to me, dude. You're telling me I can change my name and step away from the government? What am I going to change my name to? Any suggestions, guys?
We talked about this on Gerald Whitehorse's show many years ago with the Crow Nation up there, because they were working on this to be able to become your sovereign self, identify yourself as a sovereign being, not owned by the system, because it is that name on documents and the way it is written, basically, that proves to the system that they own you.
Yeah, that's
exactly.
I'm a coin of phrase. This is we're all victims of the Hansel and Gretel effect. We've been suckered in with the cookies and didn't even know that what the ultimate agenda was. Our parents basically sold us into slavery without even realizing what they were doing.
They didn't realize it, but you have a certain point in our history where the bright idea, the controllers got the bright idea to document us so that they could energetically control us through that document by the signage on that document and basically handing us over, you know, to be slaves, enslaved.
Yeah.
Right? So we're talking again, I'm going to identify this as, again, a frequency and an energy. When you claim yourself, for instance, as a U.S. citizen or a citizen of this country or that country, and my name is so-and-so and so-and-so, you are basically feeding the fact that you are enslaved, you know.
You are a property of.
Yeah.
Shazaz, if I can take a second here, I want to give your listeners a YouTube channel that they can go check out. And one of the videos from this guy, he talks about how a couple in St. Thomas, Ontario, actually went and legally changed their names from the all-capitalized corporate birth certificate registration to their first name of the family and their last name as the family. I'm not going to say it now. Well, their last name is Maynard, M-A-N-A-R-D, and Brent and Kathy Maynard went and had their names changed to Brent of the family Maynard, Kathy of the family Maynard. They are no longer listed as Brent Maynard, capital letters with a SIN number.
Yeah.
Or in your case, a social security number in the States. The site that I would give people to go check out on YouTube is Critical, C-R-I-T-I, C-K-I-L, Critical Thinker. An interesting way to spell critical, but it's not critical, it's critical. C-R-I-T-I-C-K-I-L-L Thinker. Go check it out, and the video I'm referring to is titled Kathy and Brent Testament. It's about an hour long, and it talks about these people changing their names and taking on the Ministry of Finance. They're tobacco farmers. And it talks about the fight they're having with the government over being able to sell their product without government interference. Legally, following all the laws, but anyhow, that's a whole other issue. He talks in that video about changing your names and establishing a status in court of common law in the right jurisdiction.
Yeah. That's another
always
thing.
Good to share that kind of information, too.
That's another thing. We need to learn the terminology of what these dang courts do. It'd be better off if you just didn't go, but you know how that works out.
Well, we're never going to be able to do that. The court systems are set up in a legal system that jargon that normal people have no way of even beginning to go to court and put up a real good defense of themselves.
Yeah.
It's set up to take money out of your pocket. Every aspect of what goes on in the court system is just another money grab.
Well, we're definitely up against a serious beast out there. I liken it to the doggone base of the pyramid being the people, and we're literally holding up that capstone at the top, you know, by the things that we just basically consent to. We allow it, you know. In reality, it's supposed to be here in the United States by the consent of the governed. That's the only reason why these folks are in power, and they're there to serve the community, but that's not what we're seeing here. And so when it gets to that point, what my warning to everybody was that if it breaks down, there ain't no turning back. Once the cat's out of the bag and that whole entire mess occurs, and if we actually get into a second civil war here, it ain't coming back. Period. And when that happens, it's going to start a ripple effect clear across the globe. I guarantee you that. You can take those words to the bank, because that's exactly what's going on. So, with that said, we're getting right down there to the end of the deal here. About time to go around the table. But before that, I want to reiterate to people out there, I am not advocating overthrow of your government. I'm not advocating violence. All I'm trying to do is speak some common sense. If you can't see the writing on the wall, if you ain't paying attention to the red flags that's going out there, people like California wanting to throw homeless people in jail, essentially, and people wanting to throw people who feed homeless people in jail, even when it comes to the capacity of a magazine. If you ain't got the same equivalence of defense that your government has, if you're up against the government with pitchforks and billy clubs, you can see that's not going to fare so well for you. Those rights, the constitutional, regardless of what you think of that document, it's the last piece of paper that stands between you and tyranny, total and all-out tyranny. And if they are able to do what they've been doing incrementally through this entire process, when it finally breaks down and you get angry, if you've already lost those rights, you'll never get them back without a violent revolution. And I do not want to see that. I honestly do not want to see it. And so that's why I get out here, I talk about the things that I talk about in hopes that those words will resonate in the hearts and the people out there and land on the right ears to think really seriously before you go out and do anything, even to the extent of protesting those men and women out there in military uniforms who are supposed to be peace officers who have now turned into a standing army against their own citizens. Now, if you can't see that with your own eyes, then you're obviously not paying attention. If you're paying attention to the shiny things and the toys and all the things that you want to get and, you know, your video games, you're missing out. Meanwhile, back at the ranch, Snively Whiplash has got his hand so deep in the cookie jar, you may not get it out. So we need to think about that. So with that said, who wants to go first?
Ladies always first.
I'll make one real quick statement and then shut up. We have to accept the fact that it's only a matter of time before our opposition resort to force or violence to silence the Don Cherries of the world. Not just North America, but of the entire world. From Kowloon to Kamloops, B.C.
Yeah.
Barber.
We won't start it, but it's coming to us.
Yeah,
I'm done.
It's coming.
Well, so again, another brilliant, wonderful, excellent dialogue, and it's a dialogue we are having between us all. It's good. And we all, I think we're on the same page pretty much, which is a really good thing. But we can discuss, I feel, any kind of situation, any circumstance, but you know me, I have great faith, and at the end always, I do speak about that because I feel that the foundation, the key piece is our spiritual connectedness. Our you could say, even if you want to eliminate the word spiritual, it is our connectedness to something far greater, and certainly the earth that we live on is a beautiful sacred system here. And so I always say that there is a key piece, that we have to have a strong foundation. And the strong foundation, in my understanding, is my spiritual connectedness and my faith in something far greater than I am. I basically humble myself with the many miracles and beautiful things that I've experienced in my life. And I do, I have experienced miracles, and I've experienced them through prayer, through ceremony, through faith, and through trust. And I know that at this timeline we are here for a reason. I do believe we all returned here for this reason. I think that this is I guess I'm going to say repeating history, human history. We see the rise of ancient civilizations, the demise and fall, and then the period of the Dark Ages, and then another awakening, awareness, and so on. We see this system. And I feel this timeline here now is the most crucial one, because we don't want to keep repeating this now, do we? And I think it's in our hands at this timeline. The Great Awakening, I guess we could call it, is the time of enlightenment, which is the stage of the cosmic system that we are in alignment with, what is above so below, meaning that we are in relationship with what is happening in the above and so on. And this timeline is crucial, because this is an ending of an era, an ending of that timeline. I think we are in the Kali Yuga, which, if you want to know what that is. It's the system that shows us through millennia, the rise and fall and the rise and fall, the awakenings, the dark ages, and so on. And I think we are in this fall, this moment of falling of the civilization. It seems all the things do point to that. But we are participating here, and we have a power and an ability actually to co-create. I think that the love that we can have and the compassion for others is a powerful frequency, a game changer. I do believe that, as is hate and divisiveness, also a game changer. So it's in our hands, is what I'm saying. It is in our hands in this moment to either choose what is light and beautiful, joyous creation, or the other side, which I don't have to name, because we are being tested in this timeline, and it's a big test, and it's an extraordinary moment in time. I think it's awesome to be here to see this going on, and even to be remembering and also knowing the power that we were given by our Creator to actually make a change, to choose something good, to choose the good over the dark and the hate. Because people are now being challenged to either be hateful, divisive, or turn, I guess you want to use that to turn the other cheek, I don't know, but to turn toward compassion. It's in our hands, is what I'm saying. We're not helpless. This is not hopeless, is what I'm saying. We have something. Creator gave us power to create and make a difference. It's up to us. So that's what I say.
I believe that as well. I think we still have a choice, and I said it a few times. I'm gonna be the last man on the battlefield saying, "Can't we all just get along, man?" I know it seems overwhelming, but I'm not willing to give up. As long as I got a voice and I can reach out there and talk to people, hopefully those words will resonate and they'll pass them on. So, with that said, who's next?
Well, I'll never give up either, Shaziz, but the book I follow tells me very, very in great detail exactly what's going on in my world right now and kind of what I should be expecting to happen in the very near future. I spoke earlier in the show about a time of turmoil coming on this planet. I believe that is going to happen very, very soon. Nobody put a date on it, but I believe there's going to be a tipping point come. I believe we're going to see the rise of a one world ruler, because my book talks to me about that in great detail. It talks to me about the mark of the beast, talks to me about a one world currency, talks to me about all the things I see going on in the world, whether it's financial, whether it's upheaval going on around the planet, nations against nations. We see everybody rattling battle sabers right now. We see things going on in our environment, in our weather, around the planet that are mind-boggling. We see rises in tectonic activity. That's all talked about. And to me, I'm prepared for what's coming. I can't stop. I believe what is coming. All I can do is share my thoughts with people. I've got to stand in my truth. And my truth tells me that, there is going to be bad times come, but at the end, He will prevail. Yeah. And He will return to this life. And to me, that brings a peace in my life. And I stand in my truth. And that's how I live my life right now. I can't go any other way. It is what I see coming. And to me, it's just being prepared spiritually.
Well, I can't disagree. The book said there'd be wars, rumors of wars, plagues, famine, pestilence, and so on. So, yeah, if you look out the world and you don't see it, I don't know what to say. You're blind.
Well, I agree with Barbara. She says we've reached this time, and I agree. But we can't put a date on it. We can't say, hey, it's going to happen next week. The end of the world is coming, whatever, all these predictions we've heard over the years, Y2K and all this other crap. Nobody can put a date on it, but he says in the book he's going to come as a thief in the night.
Yeah.
He tells us about what we should be seeing in society and in our world just prior to his return. And I live by that, Shaziz.
Yeah.
And I've got to go with that. I can't dispute what is my truth.
It's definitely
so, thanks for having me.
Hands.
Always a great conversation here. I just love this conversation on Sunday morning. It gets my brain going. Gets my heart opened up, and it's great for you to see folks.
Barbara's right. It's definitely in God's hands. I can't disagree with that at all. But I'm still saying that as long as we're still in the game, that we still keep on keeping our eyes and ears open and walk through life with wisdom and peace, hope, and love, that kind of deal, because I still, something that Jesus said about, you know, if you had the faith of a mustard seed, you could move mountains. And I'm wanting to move a mountain right now, and I got the faith of a mountain. And I honestly, if it wasn't for my faith in God, I wouldn't be able to tolerate this stuff. I mean, I'd be going insane. And there's a lot of people out there who don't even believe in God who's having miserable lives. So, you know, hey, it is what it is. So I guess we're going to find out. Duke, did you have anything you want to add to all this?
Well, there's all kinds of stuff I could add, but we're limited in time.
Yeah.
What I do want to say, Shazaz, is I would love to have you on my show.
Well, just shoot me a message on Skype a day, and I'll set that time aside, and I'd love to join with you. I think it'd be awesome.
Well, you know what I think I'd rather do is take your Sunday morning show and pump it right out over my Facebook and YouTube channels as a simulcast.
You can do that too.
If you're all right with me doing that.
Yeah, I encourage people to do that. I want people to share this information. Folks, we got to get out of here, but either way, if there's anything that you've heard today that was informative or something that you feel is going to be beneficial to somebody you know, please share these links. That's all we ask of you. We're not asking you for anything else but just a few seconds of your time. Share these links. Go over there, visit People for People Radio Network. Awesome people on both sides. I'm telling you, if we could get more networks running like this right here doing what we do here, I'd love to see a youth version of the Knights of the Round Table. That would be spectacular. I just, we can't do this without you. We need you to get out there and tell people that there's people out there talking common sense, and they're trying to share a good message with people and keep people informed. We got awesome people in the chat room that put great comments in both People for People Radio Network and Shaziz Radio Network. We'd like to see you there. A lot of you out there on different types of devices that you can't use these chat rooms, maybe somehow or another, someday you get an opportunity to sit down at a home PC and jump on there and say hi. Hey, tell us where you heard us from or whatever. Either way, it all makes a difference. Just share the message with people. And, you know, once again, I still believe in the dream. I don't think it's over until it's over. And so I'm thinking, I honestly believe good's going to win. There's no doubt in my mind over that. You know, at least that happens in the movies, right? But I honestly believe that I believe that love is the most powerful thing that you got. And if you know how to use that love, which is so easy, and the best part about it is, if you got a big heart full of love, you can keep on spending that love and spending it and spending it, and you never seem to run out. It just seems to keep on filling back in. It's an amazing gift that we've been given by what I believe is our Creator. So with that said, you've been listening to the Knights of the Round Table. Please share this message and take care.
What is the dream? The dream is to bring brilliant minds from every nation together to solve the world's problems, one positive pebble at a time. It will be we, the people of the world, that bring about true change, peace, and love to all. Governments never solve any problem, only create them. Wars, starvation, sickness, oppression, financial slavery, death and destruction is what governments do best. When all the military might of nations is used to destroy other nations, the question has to be asked, why not use that military strength for good? Feed the hungry, shelter the homeless, heal the sick, and so forth. True representation of truth, freedom, and justice comes from we the people, and it never came from slick-talking politicians that say whatever they have to get elected, and then regulate away your freedoms. There is no reason to have starving babies in the world of today. Yet, it goes on. There's no reason for wars and sickness, yet it continues. We as the people must stop feeding that beast that is eating humanity alive. We the people of all nations have the power to bring about a literal heaven on earth. You as an individual have more power than you can possibly imagine. You have the power of the spoken word, You have the power of the pen, the power of action, and most of all, the power of love. It is time to use this power to make our world a better place. We're the founding fathers, mothers, sisters, and brothers of our children and of our children's children's future. Into the future and beyond, what we do today will define the world that they live in tomorrow. Let us from every nation come together and make that future a great one.
It was that ant that stood up to me.
Yeah, but we can forget about him.
Yeah, it was just one ant.
Ooh, one ant. Yeah, you're right. It's just one ant.
Yeah, boss, they're puny.
Hmm, puny? Say, let's pretend this brain is a puny little ant.
Did that hurt?
Nope.
Well, how about this one?
Are you kidding?
Well, how about this?
You let one ant stand up to us, then they all might stand up.
Those puny little ants outnumber us 100 to 1. And if they ever figure that out, there goes our way of life.
It's not about food. It's about keeping those ants in line. That's why we're going back.
Does anybody else want to stay?
Old woman!
Man!
Ma'am, sorry. What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how'd you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here! Oh! How'd you do?
How'd you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you. We're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings?
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake. Her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
But you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
I mean, if I went round saying I was an emperor, just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help, help! I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Do you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
We're knights of the round table. We dance where we're able. We do routines to call the scenes to put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot. We eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table. Our shows are more. We're able. to give and blind to our quiet unseen able. We're off to Mad in Camelot, we sing from the dire Pamela.
I have to push the pram a lot.
No, on second thoughts, let's not go to Camelot. It is a silly place.
Right.